Soon, the John Geyer family will be using their TV to help compute their federal income tax, learn French, improve math skills, and quarterback an NFL team.
Here they come, the line of scrimmage.
Introducing Intellivision, the new home video system from Mattel Electronics. Two components, each sold separately. Start with the master component, available now for super games like NFL football.
It's a pass.
Go for it, Dad.
Got it.
And for learning fun from the electric company.
Now this one's a little tougher.
I got it.
And when you add the keyboard component available this summer, Intellivision can change your family's life. It simplifies financial planning. Even custom designs a Jack LaLanne exercise program for you.
One, two,
play it, Driver.
There is an entire library of Intellivision programs designed to grow right along with your family's interests. Discover Intellivision. It can change your family's life.
Will it really change your life?
Man, you reached back for that one.
Oh, did I ever? That was, wow. That was did you ever own one of those?
No.
No, I never did either. Yeah. Could it really do that stuff? Your finances and everything else?
With the
keyboard attachment, it'll change your family's life. my life has never been changed by a video game console. I've enjoyed my life a lot better with one, but it has never completely changed my life in any way. Maybe a computer, maybe a PC, maybe changed the way that I did things. I don't know. I don't think so. Why are you giving me a weird look? Hang on. She's in the booth, and so she's got... What?
I think it changes your life. I mean, when, sadly, your Xbox kicked the bucket...
You know,
you wouldn't say life went on as normal for you and you were okay, would you?
Well, I tell you what, for some people who maybe couldn't go out and get, you know, I had the means to go out and go pick up one. You know, if it broke, I'm like, all right, fine, I'll go get one. You know, so it really didn't bug me that bad. And the fact that I put it in the capable hands of the man sitting across from me, Straxus, who actually brought my Xbox in today. This is interesting. You're going to witness a live operation.
Well, they're not going to witness
both, you know, audible and visual as well for us in the studio. Visual for you guys, I guess it'll kind of be audible. I don't know. He's gonna operate on it on the show. He's got to do. What do you have to do to it?
The fan shroud mod, just something.
Other than something that makes it cooler. What's it going to do?
Really, all it is cutting the grill off of the back, not the plastic grill, but inside there's a metal grill. Yeah, cutting that off and then putting a guard to get the airflow to go through the heat sinks a little bit better. It's supposed to make it quieter because the fans won't have to spin as much and keep it
right.
cooler.
Yeah.
And so I didn't even like mean to do this as a thing. Like, oh, let's do it on the radio. So I didn't have time to do it. And I'm like, well, I'll do it on the radio. And this will be kind of cool. It's the only time I have to do it before I give it back to Scott. So if I want to get back to it by the time the show's over. So that's how that turned out.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so. It's working good now. It's booting up. No more... Three red lights of death and plays games. Great.
I saw him pull in outside, and I had my keys with me. So I was holding the door at first, holding the door open because he didn't have keys to get in. But I had my keys with me, so I was like, "Oh, I can go out there." So I ran out to his car and I was looking in the window, like, you know, trying to find my lost dog that he found or whatever it was. I'm like, "Where's my boy? There he is. Hey, kid." And there he was. So it was great. It was great. So I appreciate you working on the thing.
No problem, man.
And we'll go into some detail about what you actually did and everything else a little bit later on in the show. Welcome to In-Game Chat. You know, let me tell you where we're at first. Those of you just tuning in, what is this stuff? Welcome to In-Game Chat, episode number 16 on the air here. So thank you for joining us. And it is 3 hours worth of nothing but talk about video games, computers, movies, gadgets, gizmos, whatever the case. And along with your calls and questions and comments and anything else you'd like to contribute to the program tonight. We're going to be here, like I said, 3 hours going over some new stuff. We're going to talk about Halo and the headache that caused a few people this week. We'll talk about the 360 getting fixed. We'll talk about all the news that was in there. There's lots of great stuff that happened this week. I know I was kind of sarcastic in the way I wrote up the preview of what we would be talking about tonight. It's like, hey, it was a dead week. Nothing happened. Nope. Solitaire came out on the 360. Yeah, Solitaire.
Well, it's a Microsoft console, man. Gotta have Solitaire.
You gotta have Solitaire.
It this long without it.
It should have come with it, actually, Solitaire. But yeah, no, you have to pay for it. 800 points to play Solitaire. $10, so you can play a game by yourself.
Oh, you can play them co-op.
No, it doesn't.
Co-op Solitaire, man. That's brilliant.
That's funny, actually. But anyway, we got all that to talk about as well, along with your calls, 334.
But there really is a lot to talk about.
Yeah, there is. 334. Yeah, we're not going to... That was sarcasm, man. I'm not talking about Solitaire. 334, unless you want to call in and be like, hey, you want to defend it, go ahead. 334-272-9228 is the number you need to know. We are being broadcast here at 1170 WACV through their website, streaming live if you're listening to us, or from your radio, if it's that good. Can pick up the signal. I think it's pretty good outside. Could you hear it on the way over?
Yeah, it's pretty good, and we just got a local caller.
Again?
Yeah.
We are running good, man.
He wanted us to play the theme to the $6 million man for Jeremy fixing the Xbox.
Oh, yeah. I don't have that. I don't have it, but I'm sure we could find it somewhere. But thank you for calling in, whoever you are. Let's see. We're streaming from 1170 WACV. Go to their website, 1170WACV.com. Also, we're in the chat room. If you head on over to mouselook.com, right there on the front page, there's a link to get into the chat room. Or if you head over to evilavatar.com, E-V-I-L-A-V-A-T-A-R. Sorry, I can't spell on the fly. Avatar.com to study it first. There's the link to the chat room in there. In fact... aren't you proud? I innovated this week and was able to put my laptop directly in front of me. So, while I am talking, I can...
only took you 16 weeks to figure
actually
out how to
type
do that.
In the chat room, and then 6 seconds later, they'll understand what I just wrote there. They're like, oh, that's what he's doing. Yeah, it's right in front of me. I don't have to move out of the way. So, you guys talk, and I will relay your messages throughout the broadcast tonight. So... while you guys are here, and I'll probably mention this once an hour here, show note, we are moving to Mondays. It is official. I found out today.
Yay.
Yes, we're moving to Mondays on June the 4th. So we will have a show next Friday. The Friday following that, which I believe is June... hey, wait a second. My computer's right here in front of me. I can figure out when that is. it's that great. Let's see. That is going to be June the 1st. That's right. June 1st, we will not have a show. We'll have a show on the 25th, next Friday, and then you won't hear from us again until June the 4th. So that's the plan right now. So we're moving to June the 4th. We're moving to Monday nights.
So. Monday.
I've heard a lot of great things. A lot of people. I posted it in the Evil Avatar message board for the thread about the show. I put it in there and said we're moving to Mondays. Got some response saying, hey, Mondays kind of works for me.
Yeah.
I'll be able to tune in this time. So, you know, we'll be having some new listeners.
Works better for a lot of us.
I posted that. I said that with, you know, some of the hosts as well as some of the listeners, it's going to benefit. We'll have some other people in here who couldn't be in here. I know James just dies to be in here every Friday that we're doing this, but yeah. He can't because of work. However, Monday is great for him. So he'll be joining us as well. And also... beginning in August, there was going to be a football broadcast taking over our time slot.
Yeah.
For like 10 weeks, maybe more if they made playoffs. So, you know, we're just going to move it to Mondays, and that's where we're going to be from now on. Enough of the details. Let's jump right into the news. I know you're busy looking over there. What do you have? You got anything lined up for us?
Oh, I'm kind of sorting right now.
You're sorting. Okay. So what did you hand me?
Oh, all the stuff I didn't want.
Last week you're complaining about not having enough. And you gave me a stack of stuff. Let's see. Now I've got to sort. Hey, did you see where Parasite Eve 3?
Yeah.
It's going cell phone only?
Yeah, they're releasing Parasite Eve 3 in Japan for cell phones.
Just the cell phones.
Which I guess I'm fine with because the first one, after a certain point, frustrated me to the point I couldn't finish it even though I was very close.
Right.
And I never really played the second one much.
Another interesting thing is that the top 21 games in Japan were all Nintendo.
That's pretty crazy.
Isn't it?
But then they're pretty crazy.
The top 21 games were all Nintendo. And, of course, if you look at these, I don't see any of these actually being almost, like, almost half
mm-hmm.
are not anything you can find here in the States, or at least from what it looks like.
Or pronounce in the States.
Or pronounce it anyway. Yeah, exactly. Number one, of course, was, number one is Final Fantasy, what is that, 10, 12? Fantasy 12.
Something.
Remnant Wings.
Yes.
And Super Paper Mario is number two for the Wii. Wii Sports, number three. Does that, How is that number three? Do people go out and buy that?
I'm guessing they count all Wii sales as sales of
Wii Sports, I guess. That's got to be the most money making game ever for that amount of money. Let's see what else. As I'm going through here, just jump in whenever you want to, Strikes, because I haven't looked over this. This is obviously news you didn't want. But
well, you heard the rumor that Nintendo Power may be shutting down.
I did.
That's kind of sad, man, because I remember back when I was in, like, I guess it was fifth grade, I got my Nintendo and I registered for the Nintendo Fun Club newsletter.
Right.
And I only ever got one issue of it.
Which issue? Do you remember?
I guess it was the seventh one. It was the last one they ever did. And then right after that, because they were starting up the Nintendo Power magazine, and then they sent me the first issue for free, which was the Super Mario 2 cover.
Did you get any more issues after that?
Oh, yeah. I subscribed, and I had every issue for, like, up until the Super Nintendo came out and a little bit after that.
Yeah, no, I had it beyond that, too, beyond the Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
I can't remember my last issue, but I have them all saved. I have every single issue I had saved.
I sold all mine on eBay.
From issue 2. I did not get issue 1.
Oh, you didn't get issue 1.
I've got the Ninja Gaiden Gaiden.
Man,
issue
1 had that big Zelda map in it.
Yeah, it did.
That was helpful. It was for the second quest after you beat it the first time, but it was still helpful even though I was playing through it for the first time. And then it was really helpful the second time through. So.
Yeah, that's, you know, and I that's a rumor, though. That's only a rumor, right?
Well, it's a pretty strong rumor right now. There's been massive layoffs over at Nintendo Power.
You know, and I wish I could find it. I don't know if you've got it or I've got it, but there was an article, and we'll have to get to it, that I printed off about, wait a second, I forget. I've got my computer in front of me. I can go straight to the linked up and find exactly what I want. This is so awesome. I love it when things are, you know, cool like this. But no, there was an article about, where the internet or the World Wide Web is taking over as far as print. And so, let me see if I can find it real quick here. No, I don't see it, like, right off the top of my head. I'd love to find it, though, because it was interesting to see that they're trying to, well, not that they're trying, but that basically magazines don't do anything anymore. There's almost no point in having magazines based on
video games.
By the
time
they
come out, all the news is at least a month old.
We've talked about this before, but I'll tell you, there's one thing that actually works. There's one thing that is the exception to that, and I would say that is Game Informer. I'm not here to tout GameStop's magazine, because it is pretty much theirs. But they had the first screenshots of Call of Duty 4 that I got. That's the most recent issue. First screenshots and first info from GTA 4. They've always been exclusive with that stuff. And so, you know, I think if you've got to go with a magazine, you don't really have to, but if you got to go to, that's really the one you want to go to. It's really good. It's really informative. And, yeah, it beats the internet as far as the info that comes out. So, anyway, that's
cool.
Well,
there is one advantage that magazines have over the internet.
Which is what?
It's a lot easier to take a magazine into the bathroom with you as reading material than your laptop.
Okay. Time for some disclosure. I take my laptop into the bathroom with me.
Well, I do too at home, but not at work.
No, I still do it at work.
Yeah, but you know, look where you work.
Exactly. But no, there's like a little tray set up right there, and just walk in, sit it down, you know. But I'm like, all right, look at the internet. So, you know, I don't need a magazine anymore. Boy, we shouldn't. You shouldn't have brought that up.
Yeah, I should have.
No, you shouldn't have.
Yeah.
No, fine. Then we're going to talk about Transformers later on. and the movie, the one you don't like to talk about.
Yeah, whatever.
I know. Did you see where Serious Sam 3 got confirmation?
Yes, I did.
Which I never played Serious Sam 2 very well. They're going to actually redo the engine for Serious Sam 3. The Serious engine, I believe, is what it's called. They're going to do that. Wow. Graw 2 for the PS3 is going to have 14 brand new maps.
All right.
I don't know if these are going to be released on the 360. I'm trying to look over this.
Yet.
Yeah, no, they're going to get that. Another thing, did you see where John Woo's Stranglehold game for the PS3 is getting a special edition? For $10 more, you get Hard Boiled on Blu-ray.
Huh.
But yeah, it's actually on the same disc.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So you get Stranglehold, you put that in your PS3, but if you want to watch Hard Boiled, you don't have to put in another disc. It's right there on the disc.
Huh.
So I thought that's cool. It's the high def version, which it has not been on on HD DVD or Blu-ray yet.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if they'll sell it separately. I'm sure they will. They got to make some money off
of it. You can get it separately on the Pirate Bay, I'm sure.
Well, I'm sure you can. In high def?
Yeah.
Really?
Of course.
I thought you had to go through a transfer or stuff, or do they just do that?
Well, they do that.
Oh, wow. Cool. Well, anyway, I don't use the Pirate Bay, so there. I don't use your devil devices, you. What else you got?
Let's see. Well, last week we talked about how Edward James Olmos, actor on Battlestar Galactica, said that next season was going to be its final season.
Yeah. That was we didn't really jump the gun. That was the information given to us.
Yeah. Yeah, he was like, yeah, next season's the last season. And we reported it. And now
like the next day.
That,
it was like the next day. They're like, whoa, hey, don't. I'm saying, now that's probably, that could be, you know.
Yeah, the producers were like, whoa. No. It's over when we say it's over, and we haven't said it's over yet.
Yeah, but that could be just them, you know, doing a little bit of spin control, you know.
Well, he also told us that next season would only be 13 episodes, and they said no. Actually, it's going up from 20 to 22.
Right.
So, I mean, he was...
But we're still going to split it throughout the year.
Well, sci-fi's always done that.
I know.
That's nothing new.
But, yeah, that's true.
Doing that to Farscape back in, what, 99?
Yeah.
A long time ago.
Yeah.
Nothing new there, man.
No, I guess it's not, so...
That's to be expected.
Exactly. Intel's cutting the CPU prices.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that?
I did. In June 11th? Is it?
Yeah, July 22nd.
Okay. It started with a J. I got that much right.
They're going to cut it 50%.
That's a lot.
I'm trying to read here what it is they're cutting, but yeah, their most recent CPUs, they're going to cut 50%. So,
good deal.
Ooh, speaking of magazines, Ziff Davis Media.
Losing a lot of money.
$1 million. Mm-hmm. Their game revenues division dropped by $1 million.
Well, we said gaming magazines, man,
that's a 44% drop in the company's game group.
Moving off the side of the road.
They really are. I know, you know.
Not the way people get their news anymore.
Mm-mm. No, it's not. And it's sad to say. Well, I guess not that sad to say. I don't know why. I really never subscribed to those things anyway. I did for Nintendo Power. Why? Because I didn't have the internet then. And that was cool. I've gone back to some of those issues where it shows the, ooh, here's what's new and upcoming. And I'm like, man, I remember being really excited about that.
Yeah.
Boy, it looks like crap. some of it holds over well, you know, throughout the year. Some of it, not so much.
Yeah.
You go.
Thanks
for giving me this one.
So, apparently when you create a live account with your 360, or,
right,
you know, Xbox in general, You have to give an email address to tie it to, and you have to tell how old you are. And if you're under 18, you can't use the Messenger function. Yeah, but the geniuses at the 360 division didn't program it so that when these people turned 18, they would be able to access it.
Mm-hmm.
So several people in the past, you know. Was it a year and a half the 360's been out now? I've turned 18, and they're like, hey, I still can't access it. And they're like, oh, yeah, we know. We'll get around to fixing that at some point. Sorry.
At some point, we'll do that.
Like, come on, man. You didn't think these people were going to turn 18 eventually?
Right.
That's a bit of an oversight. Hopefully, they'll fix that soon.
They will. They will somehow. I don't know. You know, they'll just release a patch or something. I don't know what it was.
But speaking of Xbox Live, we've got Prince of Persia coming to Xbox Live Arcade.
I saw the video for that.
A very, very nice makeover.
Did you watch the video, the gameplay video?
I haven't seen the video yet, but just the screenshots look fantastic.
No, that
and
thing
Prince
moves.
Prince of Persia was such a fun game.
It was.
The original Prince of Persia, the 1989 one, not the Sands of Time.
Did you play Sands of Time?
I did play Sands of Time.
You did?
Yeah.
Yeah, did you like it?
It was okay.
I loved it. I love Sands of Time. Warrior Within, the sequel? No.
Didn't ever try it.
Horrible. And I haven't played the third one. I've been waiting for it to become backwards compatible for the 360, and then I'll play it. But
man, I'm all over this when it comes out.
Well, they're using the Prince style that they had in Sands of Time.
That's fine.
And no, that's fine. I'm all for it. But yeah, I saw the video of it. Oh God, it just beautiful again. You know?
Yeah.
It reminds me. It's just updated the same way it was. You know, then, and just it's got the same move, the same fluidness to it. really, really good. And so I can't wait for that. Bomberman.
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 I love Bomberman.
He's already on Xbox 360 in the form of crap, but...
what?
Bomberman X-Zero. It's a standalone game.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
you can
yeah,
go pay $40
bucks
for a big steaming pile of it and play it. But you don't want to. But yeah, they're going to release it on Xbox Live Arcade, the fun version, the version we all want, the version we wanted as a standalone game to begin with.
8-player multiplayer Bomberman.
Ah, yes.
Blow up blocks, collect bombs, and make them explode bigger and kill the other guys. That's good stuff, man.
Yes, it is.
It was the next thing I was going to pick up for my DS before the 360 took over all my gaming time.
I
think I'll be
I was close to picking that up.
Playing online with live with you guys than playing online with a bunch of strangers and Japanese strangers on the DS.
Yeah, no, it'll be fun.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have found me on the DS playing that, man. So, oh wait, there's the article I was looking for. for the magazines.
Ah.
Instead of the other, instead of, you know, the internet killing basically the magazine. So, I'm trying to read through it here, but oh well, we pretty much covered the point anyway.
Yeah.
Is that the internet beat them in the race. Let's see, Burning Crusade, 117% revenue surge for Vivendi.
I believe it.
Yeah. That's amazing.
That's the expansion to World of Warcraft. And, yeah, that's what is selling on the PC. Not much else is, but World of Warcraft is.
What's amazing, though, the strong increase is primarily driven by the successful January release of World of Warcraft, the Burning Crusade. So get back with us in a couple of months and see if it's moved any after your base has bought it, you know.
Yeah.
See what happens, because I don't think you're gonna get an increase. Was it this week or last week that it was supposed to be E3?
Well, I saw stories last week that said it was last week, and now I'm seeing stories this week
that
say
it's this week.
Whatever. May.
Sony held their the Game Day conference? Is that what it's called? Gamers Day. Sony Gamers Day is what they held this week. Kind of what E3 was supposed to be. E3 was supposed to be this week. They did the Sony thing and revealed a lot of new titles and that sort of thing. And we'll go over some of those. I know we've got news stories sitting around here somewhere where we've got some mentions of new stuff coming out as well. Let's see. What else do you have? Anything over there? Am I running you dry?
No, there's still plenty.
Okay.
Well, I liked... let's see, was it Sony Computer Entertainment America President Jack Trenton said, basically, talking about how, you know, the PS3 has had really lackluster sales so far and cost them a lot of money. He's like,
because it's $600.
Yeah. He says, quote, "We didn't get into the PS3 for the first 6 months of 2007. We're into this for the next 10 years and beyond." Man.
No, you're not.
What a load of crap. There are no consoles in the history of consoles, which is pretty long at this point, that have lasted for 10 years.
There's someone out there not as lazy as I am who is collecting all of this information that they keep spouting out so that 10 years down the line, they'll have the links ready to go and be like, nope, here's where you said you're going to last 10 years, you know?
Uh-huh.
When 5 years comes out and they ditch the PS3.
In 5 years, the PS4 will be out. It's that simple.
Yeah.
Now, I would love... I think
and they will
generation...
have learned from their mistakes, I hope.
I think this generation of equipment is fantastic. I would not mind personally sticking with it for 10 years and not upgrading in another 5.
Right.
But there'll be 3 new consoles out 5 years from now. There's just no doubt in my mind about that.
Right. No, I agree. I almost can guarantee it'll never be 10 years.
No.
They will never make it anything that will last 10 years unless they make it user upgradable. You know? Which they'll never do that either, I don't think.
No. There'd be too many problems with that, too.
Unless they make the Phantom. But they'll never make the Phantom. It's a myth. It's a legend. Let's see. Killzone 2, after the whole Halo 3 beta thing, Killzone 2, Sony announced that they're... Gamers Day conferences and stuff, that Killzone 2 is going to get an open beta as well. When? I'm not sure. Let me look out here. Any game that has all amenities go through public beta, ensure it works as intended. More details will be released later this year, so whoopity-doo. Heavenly Sword for the PS3 may eventually have multiplayer, maybe.
I love these kind of stories, man.
Don't you?
Yeah, that's the game industry.
It's like, we might put it in there maybe in the future, perhaps someday.
It's a consideration. And then people get excited. Yay!
Here's something that Kevin may be interested in. Hoggy, who's in the chat room. Hey, Hoggy, because you'll hear it, and then you'll say, hey, 6 seconds later. Stalker games are going to be revealed at the E3 this summer. New Stalker games.
Yeah, the first Stalker game, which just came out, only took them about, 5 years to get out the door?
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe more. So who knows what's going to happen when they want to release more than these. But, yeah, they're going to release new games, and hopefully it will not take as long.
Well, hopefully they'll be based on the existing engine and, you know, just new content.
Anyway, we need to take a break real quick, and it's a very short break. It's only, it's short, tiny. We'll be back here in just a bit on In-Game Chat here on 1170 WACV. And welcome back to In-Game Chat here on 1170 WACV. And let's see, let's jump right back into some of the news we were going on. I wanted to talk about this. We were talking about Ziff Davis having a horrible, horrible year. Sony, you know, as if it's any surprise, not having a great year either. They lost $2 billion. A billion.
That's a lot.
Is it a lot for Sony?
It seems like a lot to me.
Yeah, but their game, it's their game division, their games division. It is a lot. It's a lot to us, obviously, but I mean, Microsoft loses $2 billion, you think, well, that's probably nothing, right? Probably not a big deal. But I don't know, is it a big deal for Sony? I'm not sure.
My guess is that, yeah, it's a big deal.
Their $2 billion. For the fourth quarter alone, Sony reported an operating loss of $914 million from its game division, attributable primarily to the PS3, hence the getting rid of Ken
Kutaragi.
There you go. it was also responsible for a bump in gross revenue as the company's gaming segment racked up sales of $2.4 billion and helped push company-wide sales to $17.7 billion, up 12.6% from the previous fourth quarter. All right, why are you telling me that they lost $2 billion? Well, their games division, I guess. For its full fiscal year 2006, 6.1% to $8.6 billion, but suffered an operating loss of nearly $2 billion. Originally a lot of the analysts were thinking it's going to be like $1 million loss, but apparently that got doubled as well. Let's see, did you see where there was some woman called in, or somebody called in because they thought there was a gunman in somebody else's house, but it turned out to be a Lara Croft statue?
I saw that story when I was looking through the
statue. Now you've really got to look at the picture of the statue to understand why they would think Lara Croft would be a gunman. Which, I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah.
But see, if you saw that, and you saw that from a way off distance, silhouetted or something like that, you'd be like, whoa, wait a second, what's going on here? She's holding a gun in a downward angle towards, you know, nothing that's there. Man, that's horrible. Sorry. I just looked at her development, and it's horrible. She looks deformed like that.
Well, you're talking about Lara Croft, man.
Yeah. But she looks deformed.
Yeah, it's Lara Croft. That's my point.
So I guess everybody in Dead or Alive is, you know, looks retarded. But
I mean, nobody could look like that unless they had, like, all their ribs removed. So.
Yeah, that's, I don't know, you could use it as a TV tray. Just sit it right there. It's horrible. Let's see. Also, we're talking about Xbox Live. Bomberman coming on Xbox Live. Apparently, Echo the Dolphin and Sonic are going to be on Xbox Live.
Huh.
They got rated. The ESRB gave them a rating for the Xbox 360 versions of those games. So,
are those out on the virtual console yet for the Wii?
Sonic, I believe, is. You know, they both may be. I think they both.
I thought
may.
I had seen both of
they
them.
They both may be out there.
Hmm.
God, I haven't turned on the Wii in so long. Stupid Nintendo name. No, I haven't. That thing's still got the red light from when the power went out last, whenever that was. And me not turning it back on, because, you know.
Well, you might have a bunch of messages waiting on you.
Right. Sure. Exactly. You go next.
So some guy from Newsweek asked, is it Microsoft? About why the Shadowrun, which is a first multiplayer-only first-person shooter, both for the Xbox 360 and the PC.
Right. No, I know what you're talking about.
Why is it $60 on the 360 and $50 on the PC? Why the $10 price difference? And their answer is kind of funny because it's, well, you know, I'll just read it. These price points are standard pricing for each platform. This pricing structure is not uncommon in the multiplayer-only first-person shooter genre, as numerous titles have been seen at this price point and gaming model. So, basically, he said, because that's what we set them at.
That's the way it's been, and that's the way it shall stay.
Because that's what we want to do.
No, that's, of course that's what they want
to
do.
Very eloquent way of saying that, though.
Well, you know what Peter Moore said. Things break. Look. People, things break. We're just hoping that you get a great little service and satisfaction out of calling Max on our helpline and talking to that bozo for a while and going through all that stuff. So, which I didn't. I called Strax.
And how was your customer service, by the way?
My customer service was great. What, it took me a week?
Yeah.
I gave it to last week on the show. I gave you the 360.
And
you took it home.
Are.
And you had it. You were actually done with it by Wednesday.
Yeah.
Was it Wednesday you were done?
I think so, yeah.
You're actually done with it by Wednesday, and you're bringing it back to me tonight. So
there you go.
That's great. When are you going to get started on cracking that thing open again?
I guess after I get rid of all this news stuff in front of me.
Go right ahead, man. I just went through my stuff.
Metal Gear Solid movie update. David Hayter, who is a screenwriter slash voice actor, and voice acted Snake. In the Metal Gear Solid
games. Right, yeah, I remember that.
He also did some screenwriting for the X-Men movies. Anyway, everybody's wanted to know if David Hayter's going to have any kind of role in the new movie, whether it be writing or being on the screen. Well, apparently, he did do he penned a treatment for the big screen version of Metal Gear Solid, but the powers that be passed on it.
Wow.
So... let's see. An insider who has read Hayter's treatment advised us that his take was, quote, Metal Gear as the apocalypse now of the digital age, with Snake at the center of a swirling whirlpool of genomic / military madness. Well, it doesn't tell me much about his treatment.
No.
But, you know, I never really cared if he wrote it in the first place. As far as I'm concerned, they could let Hideo Kojima, who directed and wrote all the games, do it, because... that's basically what the games are now, are big movies.
Yeah, I know.
They got some fun gameplay in between the movies, but there's big movies in there. He seems to want to do a movie, so I say let him do it. And David Hayter looks like Snake anyway, and he is Snake's voice, so let him play Snake. I think that would be perfect.
Yeah, well, there you go. Speaking of movies, you're going to love this.
What you got?
I got the thing you didn't want to talk about, or you did, but you just wanted to kill the man. Michael Bay.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I know. Look, there's two different things. I like Michael Bay movies.
Oh, that's not my fault.
I don't necessarily like Michael Bay games. I don't know what he's going to do. He's
Michael Bay games. Michael Bay's Pearl Harbor, now for 360 and PS3. Tata bomb to Haba.
He's preparing to get Digital Domain, that's his Hollywood special effects house, into a full-scale game-turning production studio. He'll channel the convergence between film and games through his very own first-person shooter, perhaps taking a cue from fellow crossover director Steven Spielberg, who is actually working on a first-person shooter for the Wii, I believe. What, isn't he?
I have no idea. Hadn't heard about it.
I don't know.
Well, it does sound vaguely familiar now.
Don't you remember seeing the pictures from Spielberg at E3?
No.
Oh, you'll have to go back and look at those. He was sitting there playing tennis with one of the heads of Nintendo over there. I don't remember who. But his project will be followed by as many as 4 additional games over the next 2 years. As Digital Domain's new owner, Florida Investment Group, blah, 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 they're about to pump nearly $100 million into the studio, in part to purchase the equipment and bring on the talent necessary to compete in the gaming industry. Look for Digital Domain to also acquire several game films later this year. They did the, I don't know if you ever saw it. Well, you probably did. You watched a lot of wrestling, and I know this popped up in there. The Gears of War TV spot with the Mad World song in the background.
Yeah.
You saw that? That was Digital Domain that did all that. That put all that stuff together. Let's see, what else? Well, okay, I should use this quote since that was something you were very interested in him, you know, in him saying was, he says he makes world-class images. Why not put those images into a game? I don't know that he makes world-class images. I don't know who makes world-class images.
Even if he does, there's an entirely different process between putting a world-class image on a movie screen and generating that in real time on somebody's console.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. No.
And that's not something he has really any control over. And he's going to find out pretty quickly, like Tom Clancy did, although Tom Clancy actually had a brilliant team of people to work with, and they figured out, they helped him along, that moving from storytelling in the way he's used to doing it to storytelling in the game, it's a very, very different animal. And mm-hmm. it takes different talents, and you have to lead people through in a completely different way. And you know, we'll see if he can figure it out. But just because he's you know, a successful director doesn't mean that that's going to transfer over.
It probably won't. No,
probably
right.
And what do you say that they're looking at acquiring a bunch of movie licenses to make into games?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well,
that shows right there how well he understands the game industry.
I don't know. You know. It depends.
Good luck with that, man.
I know. I'm not. No. You gotta understand. I don't really defend him. I just enjoy his stuff, and I won't sit there and say, oh well, you gotta look at it this way. I won't try and sway you. I'll never try and sway you on that, man, because it's all perception. And
well, I just not even looking at this within the realm of like what he's doing to Transformers. It's a stupid thing to say and do.
Well, to say yes. Yeah. To do, if he wants to try it, let him go.
Well, just given the things that he said so far that show his lack of understanding, he's going to lose a lot of money initially. He may make it back in the end if he ends up getting involved with talented people. But he doesn't know who the talented people are in the game industry or how to surround himself with them. That's going to be pure luck.
I remember when somebody posted the original story on a thread somewhere, I chimed in and I said, someone should tell him that they already did this. It's called the Burnout series. I'm not kidding. Burnout is like, hey, Bay, you don't need to get in, just hook up with these guys. This is your game. There's no story. There's cars running. They're blowing up. They're getting wrecked. And there's no physics that you have to worry about. There's no real-world physics going on with these cars.
Well, we've already got a Michael Bay of the game industry, and his name is John Carmack.
Ah.
If you talk about a guy whose games are all about imagery and you know, pretty graphics and... you know, not so much focusing on the gameplay.
Right.
John Carmack and id. That guy makes some killer game engines that everybody else uses.
Yeah. So, you know, let him do it. And if he can do it, great. If he can't, then, you know, it was kind of expected to be that way, you know? So, we need to take another quick break here. We got three per hour. We just took one. And so now we got to take our second one here. And we got to get another one in before the end of the hour. So,
cram them in, cram them in.
Exactly. So we're going to take another break here. We'll be right back with In-Game Chat here on 1170 WACV. Welcome back to In-Game Chat on 1170 WACV, and Strax over there has, oh gosh, yeah, I got a naked Xbox. Actually, no, it's not even naked. You've cracked open its ribs, and I'm looking at its innards.
Yep.
Is what we're looking at right now. He is cutting the wire mesh. If you look at the back of your Xbox, there's this plastic mesh there that's for the that's for where the fans exhaust, and under that is also a metal mesh that's pretty much the same as the plastic stuff there, but they put two of them, so it's kind of constricting with the airflow, and he's taking that part off. He's cutting it right now. He's actually cutting my Xbox.
Yep. It's fun, too.
Oh, shut up. That's, you know, no, don't say that. Just be like, hey, he's doing well, man. Nothing to worry about. It's okay. Everything's going to be fine.
The baby,
the baby's looking good. The mother's doing well. Goodness. I guess I'll carry I'll carry on with the news while you do that. Oh my God, you're peeling it. You're bending the my baby. Oh, you're about to have that thing. I'm gonna have another little souvenir, aren't I?
Yep.
He already gave me the X clamps on the bottom. We're gonna talk about what he's done. To the 360. Oh, God, that sounded horrible.
Should I put the mic a little closer?
Put the mic a little bit closer. Let's let them hear the... Oh, there it went. Popped
that was
right
the last
off.
Snip.
Wow. There's his tonsil.
There you go, man. Don't cut yourself on that.
Wow. Look at that. It's, well, you can't look at it, but I mean, that actually, I like that. I like that, the way it looks now.
Yeah.
Instead of the mesh. I could use a nice dusting, but, you know.
Some of that compressed air.
So that's going to help it, that's going to help it breathe, huh?
Yep. Well, that's what they say.
So they say, huh? Oh, hey, you can read about this, actually. You had talked about it. You wanted to make sure. And you've had experience with it anyway.
Oh, yes. Eidos confirmed Deus Ex 3, or a new Deus Ex, as the case may be. Deus Ex was a PC game released by Eidos and developed by Warren Spector and Ion Storm back in 2000. And I do believe it's one of the greatest video games ever made.
Yeah.
It combined a lot of role-playing game elements with first-person shooters, and it was an absolutely fantastic game. They made a sequel in 2003 called Deus Ex Invisible War. And even though Warren Spector was involved in it, it was a terrible, terrible game. It was absolutely awful. It wasn't just disappointing compared to the first one. It was a bad, bad game.
Abysmal.
They took everything that was great about the first game, removed it, and then told us, yeah, that wasn't what made the first game a good game. Well, apparently it was, because the second one was terrible. In any case, Warren Spector isn't going to be involved in this new one because he's moved on and he's doing other things now, which we may actually talk about a little bit later. But, yeah, new Deus Ex game coming out. My feeling can never be as good as the first one. Probably won't be as bad as the second one. I have no idea how to feel about that, really.
Right.
We'll find out when we get some more information on it.
I know you didn't get a chance to read this, but I know you probably know a little bit about it. It's kind of up your alley.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, what's the... No, I didn't read this part. Now, I know about Amazon.
Right, but which is something we should say, because I've got that story somewhere, but...
yeah, Amazon is partnering with EMI, which a couple shows ago, I believe, we talked about how EMI is releasing their catalog, going to start selling it without digital rights management, meaning you can put it on whatever device you want without restriction, burn it as many times as you want. Stuff they should let you do when you buy music anyway.
Right.
Stuff you can do when you buy CDs, but you can't necessarily do when you buy it off of iTunes or other music stores. That doesn't make any sense. So Amazon is opening a music store, and they're only going to sell unprotected MP3s, which is fantastic. And, of course, EMI is the first company to sign on with them.
Right.
So what's the story you handed me? Something about SanDisk, which I know is amazing.
Well, I wanted you to talk about the Amazon and their DRM thing.
Oh, is that? Okay.
Pretty much. That's what I first found out when I was going through here. I was like, oh, I forgot about that. Because the big news was that Amazon was doing with that, was that they were doing the DRM-free stuff.
Cool.
And so that was some big news that hit this week. We've got other news coming up as well. We're kind of running low on time. We're about to hit the top of the hour here. Let's see. They're going to do a remake of Chronicles of Riddick: Escape from Butcher Bay, which apparently was one of the best movie to game type things.
I've got it. I've never played it, but I heard nothing but good things about it.
Yeah.
One of those rare exceptions where a movie license was turned into something worthwhile.
Right. But anyway, we're running out. We've got like 1 minute left. You got anything in there before we hit the top of the hour?
Metal Gear Solid 4, it looks like it's been delayed until at least March of 2008.
That
which
is correct.
Bad news for Sony and the PS3. They could really use a big title like Metal Gear Solid 4 to help sell some systems right now.
Because they lost Devil May Cry 4.
Yeah.
To the 360. It lost Ace Combat. By the way, have you seen screens from Ace Combat?
No, I haven't.
Game Informer has some screens of Ace Combat.
Back to Game Informer.
Well, I'm not kidding, man. I looked at those, and then I went online to try and find some, and I couldn't find the ones that were in that magazine. Those were looking good. You should go check that out. Well, I don't know. Next time you come over, I'll show you. But anyway, we're about to hit the top of the hour here. We will be back 6 minutes after 8 o'clock with more news. We'll talk about Halo, Xbox, Crackdown, my naked machine over here and what you've done to it, you evil doctor. It's all coming up next right here on In-Game Chat on 1170 WACV.
Oh, in my front lawn, I know they're all thinking I'm so white and nerdy. I'm just too white and nerdy. Think I'm just too white and nerdy. Can't you see I'm white and nerdy? Look at me, I'm white and nerdy. I want
Welcome back to In-Game Chat on 1170 WACV. This is our second hour, and we're so glad you could join us. Thank you so very much.
Hour number two.
Yeah, hour number two of three, and we are broadcasting live from 1170 WACV here in Montgomery, Alabama, for those that are listening on the internet, who may be in Canada or... You know, anywhere else. I don't know if they ever knew where we were broadcasting from. They may not know. But yeah, Montgomery, Alabama is where we're broadcasting from, right here in the studio. And we're on the internet, 1170wacv.com is where we're streaming from. As well, you can go to mouselook.com, M-O-U-S-E-L-O-O-K.com, and click on the chat room link that we have right there on the front page for you to join us in the chat room or over at evilavatar.com. And check out there. Again, want to mention that we have a show note going on Monday nights. We're moving to Monday nights on June the 4th. It's official, confirmed it today. Monday nights, June the 4th. We'll have a show next week. The week after next, we will not have a show because we will be on that Monday. So
just to clarify, next week we'll still be on Friday.
Next week we will be on Friday. June the 4th is the when we're going to be going to Monday nights. So just want to let you guys know that ahead of time. So, but yeah, trust me, it'll be all over the place.
Yeah.
We'll let people know. So, in fact, you know what? On mouselook.com, under, you know, when they go to the forums, you should make that little thing that switches between.
Thing.
Yeah, with that little thing that flips back and forth
I'll
on
throw
stuff.
That
throw that in there. Hey, in-game chat moves to Monday nights. So, there we go. that's Halo stuff. I'll get to that here in just a bit.
How about Aegiswing, man?
Well, I want to round out the news. I want to go into what we were playing here in just a second. By the way, I put all this here for you.
Well, that's in the news.
Well, I know it's in the news.
See, it's right here.
But we have stories to tell about it. It'll take us a lot longer, and I want to talk about stories. Come on.
All right, I'll wait.
I will tell you that Harmonix dismissed the $200 rumor of Rock Band, saying that, well, let's see.
The $300 rumor.
Well, they said that they dismissed rumors that the game will cost between $150 and $200, which emerged after a forum poster claimed to have taken part of a focus group for Rock Band. Seeing as one of my specific orders was, don't let anyone know anything about pricing, I can't imagine that that was true. Because of a lot of reasons that I can't talk about, but we're far from releasing prices at this point, so I wouldn't take any of that stuff too seriously, said whoever he is, the Ryan Lesser. He's the Harmonix, he's the art director. What's the art director talking to us about prices for? I just read that. I'm like, oh, that would have been trashed anyway. Here's something interesting. Did you ever play?
Well, wait. Before you go too far, the rumor that you're talking about, I saw that in the news.
Yeah.
That was because I hadn't heard that story that you just told.
Right.
But there was another story where somebody that claimed to be part of a focus group for Harmonix said that they had done some focus group testing. Yeah. And that they had talked about maybe doing a package with, because Rock Band is this game like Guitar Hero, where you'll have, unlike Guitar Hero, just a guitar, you'll have a guitar, a microphone, a drum set, and a bass guitar. And so they had supposedly done a focus group of what might be a good price for the game plus three of the four instruments.
Right.
And they said that 200, they got kind of a reaction. 150 seemed to be like the good spot.
All and, total combined.
Yeah, for like a big package deal.
Mm-hmm.
Which really, 150, maybe even 200 for all of those doesn't seem so bad.
Because it's a lot. Well, we say it's a lot, but we haven't seen any of it yet.
Right.
We have no idea what these things look like or what they're going to do. We have no idea how it's going to work.
But yeah, so they were like, no, nothing. Nothing about price has been talked about.
Because let me tell you, I love the
anyway.
I love the Steel Battalion controller, but I never bought it.
No.
I never bought it. No way. Did you ever play Galactic Civilizations?
You know, I think I loaded up one time and never really got to, for some reason. But no, I didn't. I'm familiar with it. It's supposed to be a really good space strategy game.
There is a link, if you go to Joystick... PC Gamer is running an epic account of what is likely the longest game of Galactic Civilizations 2 ever played.
Yeah.
How long exactly? The gigantic-sized match has been going on for 16 days.
Wow.
And it's just now beginning to show signs of an imminent ending. Tom Francis, I guess, over from PC Gamer's running account captures the intricacies. Yes, of interstellar diplomacy, taxation, genocide, despotism, popularity rankings, and extremely foolhardy military planning in a form that even people unfamiliar with the game will find interesting. So it's some interesting stuff over there. The longest game ever played. I've never really been. Remember,
and where's that story at?
If you go to Joystick, is that our link dump? You know, I should do something with that.
We should make those public.
I should. After the show, we should move them into the public thing so everybody can see everything. I think I'll do that, actually. Good idea. Look at there. We just had an idea. We're just thinking on the fly. Here's a story near and dear to my heart. Team Ico.
Yeah?
Rumor has it that they're working on not one, but two games for the PS3. There was rumor they were doing something for the PS3. Now that it's rumoring that they're doing some more somethings for the PS3.
Well, it takes them a long time to do any somethings. I mean, in the entire run for the PS2, they did, what, two games?
Yeah.
In 5 years?
Yeah.
So, hope they're not biting off more than they can chew by trying to do two projects at once.
I don't think so. You know, when Ico was released, it wasn't very popular, was it? It wasn't like one of those big, it sold this many games, right?
I don't think so.
And then when Shadow of the Colossus released, it's one of those things where the public loves it, or most of the public enjoys it, and, you know, it gets critical acclaim, it just doesn't get the numbers.
Yeah.
You know, Psychonauts is one of those games.
Yeah.
It got critical acclaim all over the board, it just didn't get the sales that it needed. But it's, you know, it's a hidden gem. If you haven't played Psychonauts, that is something you should give a try, if you can. It is backwards compatible for the 360, by the way, and you can find some good deals on it for like $10. If one of us gets it, we'll just ship it around to everybody else. Be like, here, you try it. But no, it's a great game. One of the games is even rumored to be close to Ico and Shadow of the Colossus in terms of atmosphere and setting. This is all rumor, but I'm hoping there's a great picture that accompanies. Zilla, you would love the picture that accompanies this. If you've ever seen Shadow, you look at it.
All right.
They took a puppy.
And turned it into a colossus.
And turned it into
creature.
A colossus.
Yeah. All right.
That's great. You should see that in color. Again, when I post the link up, you'll be able to go check it out. PS3, Ubisoft. There was an interview that Computer and Video Games did with the CEO of Ubisoft, in which he states that Sony must drop the price of the PS3 console in order to spur sales. Without a price drop, they believe that the PS3 will be unable to achieve the success of the PS1 and PS2. And despite his statement that the PS3 requires a price drop, Ubisoft has a PS3 exclusive title planned, but they didn't give out the details. They have to decrease the price quite significantly.
Been saying that for months now.
Yeah, no, I'm not kidding. I'm sure there's plenty of people that have been saying that for months now. Not just gamers in general, but probably developers saying, look, man, you want our stuff, you need to drop the price on that thing. Because nobody's going to buy our stuff until they buy yours. That's the whole catch-22. It's like, we have a great game that we want to publish for you guys, or we want to put on your system. But they have to, in order for them to play this, they have to have your system. So in other words, they gotta shell out money to you guys, and then they gotta shell out money for the game. But you gotta drop that. You really gotta drop it. Let's see. Blizzard has got some things going on, and I wish I could talk to somebody who's really more interested in Blizzard than I guess I am. They're revealing some news tomorrow.
Oh, about their next big game?
Yeah, which everybody is saying is StarCraft.
A lot of people are saying it's a StarCraft MMO.
Right. Blizzard's, let's see, when is it? It's supposed to happen tomorrow. It will be taking place in Korea, home of StarCraft's celebrity-like status and the perfect stage for an unveiling of a sequel. When World of Warcraft became a phenomenon, everyone expected Blizzard to make an MMO-exclusive factory, thus making World of StarCraft a possibility. The evidence so far is Blizzard is counting down with teaser splash pages on their official site. Yesterday, a StarCraft patch was released for custom StarCraft leagues. Diablo3.com does not belong to Blizzard. StarCraft2.com directs you to the aforementioned teaser page.
Ah.
WorldofWarcraft.com now points to the same splash page. And StarCraft novel Queen of Blades is being advertised at the top of Battle.net. So there's some hints going on there. As you can see, Bohica is on his seat waiting for the Blizz News. In fact, he's got all day to play the 360, but he's not going to. He's going to sit there and watch the. He's going to hit F5 and watch that webpage.
Until he finds out what the news is.
That's what he said. We go. He says, "I doubt that." No, we have a thread over at Mouse League saying, "Hey, what are you going to do for the weekend as far as your gaming stuff?" In fact, I'm on that page. My weekend will consist of sitting by my computer until I get the full story on Blizzard's new game. His
well,
words.
He said it.
I'd like to quote him right there. But yeah, it's probably going to be about StarCraft. So, what do you got? You go.
Okay. Telltale Games, which are their developers that make episodic games. And
they make it right.
Yeah. Like the Bone games and the Sam and Max games, adventure titles. And they manage to crank one out about one every month. They're really good at it. One of the few people doing episodic gaming right. Yeah, right. Valve, take note. One a year isn't cutting it. But they're talking about how games are just too expensive. They say, we've gone through 5 or 6 years of just one type of game offering, the 50-hour first-person shooter type thing. I think that with Wii and handhelds and casual game space, we're seeing a lot of consumers who want something different. And they talk about how all of our games are very story-driven. They're not action games at all. And we think that kind of treatment, that people, if they were offered it, would respond more favorably to it. We believe that games are too expensive right now. A lot of not only episodic games, but games in general, are not priced appropriately. We also think that games are too big. And it talks about how they currently sell individual episodes of Sam & Max at $8.95 a piece, with all 6 installments in the first season being available for $34.95. And he says it's worked really well for him, and he thinks they've priced their games correctly. And, of course, you know, I'm a big fan of the episodic gaming model, even though it's in its infancy. But I think they make a fantastic point. I think they left out a few things. It's not just the Wii and handhelds that are spurring casual gaming and would be good for the episodic thing, but Xbox Live and... You know, Steam and even the PlayStation Network are all great ways for casual gamers to get there.
PlayStation Network got
at a cheaper price than the $60 that they want you to pay for next generation titles.
Calling All Cars finally got released on the PlayStation Network last week. Or was it this week? Was it this week? No, I think it was last week. Yeah, it was last week because I forgot I didn't have my Xbox 360. So what did I do? I was like, oh, I wonder what my PS3 is doing. Turned it on, and I downloaded the Gran Turismo HD demo, Ninja Gaiden demo, and there was the option there for me to buy Calling All Cars, except I couldn't figure out how to get money into my wallet in order to take money out of my wallet to buy the game. It's very weird, their little pricing, their little network of the way you buy games. But at the Sony Gamers Day, they revealed a new game for the PlayStation Network called Pain.
Oh, yeah, I saw some video of that.
Man, I am a sucker. I am a sucker for ragdoll games, where you can just take your human-like character and be like, I want to throw him up against the wall and watch him, you know, ragdoll out and do whatever he does. How much do I have to pay?
Flop around, yeah. The game basically involves you...
That's a deal!
Just putting people in this human slingshot, and they're very cartoony.
Yeah.
And just shooting them... through the city and into random things.
And you get
damage.
Points for what happens, especially if you can chain it. I know I watched one where he pulled the slingshot back. He hit a billboard. He knocked part of the billboard off, fell down to the street below. His head was kind of sticking halfway into the street. Police car came and knocked him, which knocked him way up the street. He slowed down, but then a truck turned the corner, came back, and hit him. He flew back.
Oh,
all this
man.
Stuff. All this stuff is adding up on the bottom of the screen, like, okay, you've comboed this all together. So it's getting your points. And so it knocked him back. And then another car was coming down the street, so it hit him and then hit him all the way to the end of the street. And then, you know, nothing else happened, and the counter counted down. And so it reminds me a lot of Burnout's Crash Mode.
Yeah, except with people.
With people. Exactly. It's Crash Mode with people. That is exactly what it is. And so, yeah, I'll pay some money to play that, definitely. I have no problem doing that. So I just wanted to mention that. That was one of the favorite things I saw coming out of there. Ooh, Warhawk that you know has been going through, hey, we'll release it on the PlayStation Network. No, we'll release it retail. No, we're going to release it on the PlayStation Network. then they said, no, we're going to... Wait, you're both right. They said we're going to do both. PlayStation Network and for Blu-ray in retail as well. They've now revealed that the Blu-ray version will have extras to help warrant the higher price tag at retail. They're going to package with the Blu-ray version. They'll package, it's going to be about $60. They're going to package a Bluetooth headset to come with it. They'll also get some behind-the-scenes making of footage and some other goodies. And there's a public beta that will begin on May 24th, next Thursday, that you can sign up if you go to the official Warhawk website. I have signed up, and I am hoping to hear back from them to let me know that I got into the beta. It'll be a fun thing to do.
Cool.
So, you go. I was like, you go.
Got several bits of news from Valve, one of my favorite developers, the Half-Life 2 guys. They've announced the Steam community, which seems to be their version of Xbox Live.
Right, I read about that.
Let's see. The community part comes in when you form or join groups. Members can see when others are playing a game, join them, or schedule a match for a specific date or time. They'll also have a dedicated chat channel to talk to each other on, regardless of what game they're playing, even between rounds. Lastly, but perhaps most visibly, Steam Community gives you a personal gamer page that's accessible via the web, with detailed stats about what you play, how much you play it, and what kind of player you are. So yeah, it sounds basically exactly like Xbox Live, except for Steam games. And, a lot of people I've noticed that have been commenting on this story are under the mistaken impression that Steam only has Valve games on it, but there's an awful lot of games being released on Steam by other publishers, other developers. The XCOM games, I believe, XCOM, oh, I said XCOM, no, what's the other, X2 The Threat, which is a space simulator. Lots of good stuff coming out on Steam, worth checking out. Probably going to turn out better than Microsoft's attempt at doing Xbox Live on the PC, actually.
You're probably, well.
This will probably be free.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
Interesting, Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo HD Remix.
I wasn't done with the Valve news.
Were you not? I'm sorry. No. Go right ahead.
That's why I said I had 3 pages.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I'm going to play solitaire on my PC.
All right. Valve also, this past week, was talking about how consoles need to embrace user-created content. They said that if the biggest component these guys have to get if they want online to matter is user-created content. Quote, Half-Life 1 was okay as a multiplayer game, and Team Fortress Classic was really good, but Counter-Strike kicked both of their... Can you say that on the air? Anyway, no question. And that came from a kid going to college in Canada and another kid going to high school in New Jersey who had our code and thought it would be cool to play our game, play with our game. The PC has that great advantage, has had that great advantage, and it comes from multiplayer and modding starting in the early 90s and online multiplayer only showing up on consoles in 2000 or 2001. But, yeah, that's a great point. I think it would be absolutely great if a lot more of the code were open for people to just play with and make mods like Counter-Strike.
Yeah.
There's been a little bit of talk over at Sony about allowing things like that on their network, but I'll believe it when I see it. I don't really expect that to happen.
Was that part of my Xbox you just moved around?
Oh, yeah, the fan.
Okay. Hey, be careful. That's his body.
Woo! Wave it around.
That's his liver!
And also coming from Valve, we've got Team Fortress 2. Which is
cross-platform
to be cross-platform,
yeah,
both on the 360 and the PC. That's going to turn out really bad for somebody.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm sure.
It either means that the PC users are going to be gimped and nerfed into the game basically being unplayable for them in order to balance them out with the console players having to play with the two analog sticks, or it means that the console guys are going to get absolutely destroyed when they play online against people using mouse and keyboards.
Yeah.
Those are the only two possible outcomes there.
That'll be interesting to see.
We'll see what happens.
We've all got 360s now, so, you know, we'll get it and go. And not have to worry about that, you know. It makes me wonder, will they give you the option? Or will it just be, in other words, let's say Team Fortress 2, it's cross-platform. Let's say I get into a match, kind of like we did with Halo 3 the other night, and it's going to look for the rest of the players to fill out the team or something like that. It's just looking for other players for us to go against. Can we set an option to say include PC players, or can we, you know?
You know, I got an idea. I got USB ports on my 360. They even let me use my keyboard on it. How about just going a step further and letting you use my keyboard and mouse in a game?
Wireless mouse?
Yeah, it's sitting right there in front of my TV already.
Yeah.
Because it hooks up to my media PC. And then I just move it over to the Xbox when I want to type messages. So, yeah, man. How about that?
Well, you know, write him a letter. see how much good it does.
Yeah, right.
So, back to Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo HD Remix.
Go for it.
That's the name that they've given Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo HD Remix for the Xbox
Capcom
Live.
Capcom loves long, absurd names.
They're Japanese names.
Man.
They're huge. But yeah, they do. And that's exactly what they went with Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo HD Remix. It's going to be on I have to say it now. I can't just stop at just Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo HD Remix.
It brings back memories of you know, walking in through the arcade and hearing Street Fighter EX plus Alpha. What? What kind of name is that?
But no, Capcom said that the same price for the Xbox Live Arcade version will be the same price that the PlayStation Network people pay, which is cool. You know,
see, that's the real reason I want the PS3 to stick around is because man, stuff on Live is kind of expensive, and they need a competing network to drive prices down.
If you're gonna do these dual releases,
yeah. So I wonder I want the PlayStation Network to like get up there and kick things into gear and start releasing things a little bit cheaper than Live and
Sony
competition going there.
Sony would charge $5 to play Solitaire, whereas Microsoft charges us $10.
And then
they give us an awesome free game. So I was okay with Solitaire being $10. And we'll tell you about that in a minute. Speaking of Microsoft, there was rumors back in the day about them maybe supporting Blu-ray in the future if, of course, it were to, you know, pretty much kill HD DVD, which I think it is anyway. Rumors began back in January when Peter Moore suggested in an interview that Microsoft would be willing to adapt to consumer needs. The same rumors appear to have been refueled recently on a number of websites, some of which have been citing an alleged Associated Press story, which does not appear to exist. We're fully committed to HD DVD and have absolutely no plans to support other optical formats, said Microsoft. We firmly stand behind the HD DVD format as the best choice for consumers. Current reports indicate that Microsoft has a backup plan, which includes Blu-ray support, are incorrect. Now, go to your story about the HD DVD, the keys.
Oh, the keys. Where did I put that? I was going to save that for later, but now's a good time to say that. You know what? I don't need it.
You know what you're talking about, man. Go for it.
So, let's see. There's been an ongoing war between the people cracking the encryption keys on the new HD DVD formats and, of course, the publishers. And yet again, they have revoked the latest discovered key. It was actually, let me go back a little further. The last key they discovered got posted on the internet and on some big websites like Dig.
That was a mess.
Oh, man, it was a mess.
That was a mess.
They sent a takedown notice saying that's part of our encryption scheme and it's protected under the DMCA and you have to take it down, which isn't really technically true. It's the result of an encryption scheme. It's not part of the scheme itself. So Dig started going around and taking down the stories that had that key posted in it, and it got posted by angry users about 10,000 times in the space of a weekend. So they finally said, okay, fine, you've made your point, we're not going to take it down anymore, and if they decide to sue us, we'll just fight it and go down fighting if we have to. So, thanks to their attempts to take down the key, it's now all over the internet in millions of places where everyone can see it. So they removed the key from the new HD DVDs and Blu-ray discs that are shipping next week, the Matrix trilogy being one of the things that are shipping.
Yeah.
And
of course, you can download it off the Xbox Marketplace if you want to.
So, you know what happens? They release another key.
Yeah.
Another cracked key. Which means that all of those that are about to ship next week are already unprotected again. And this is the reason that their system cannot work and will not work, because it takes them 3 months to go back and do up the masters again and send out another batch. They don't have to release all these cracked keys at once. They can be sitting on five of them and only have to release one every 3 months when they go back and retool the masters, which gives them a lot of time to find new keys. This system is completely broken. These movies are not going to stay protected. They're going to keep getting ripped
And oh, yeah.
And end up on the Pirate Bay and other torrent sites and IRC sites and news groups and peer-to-peer networks and be pretty easily accessible except for the people who buy them legitimately and want to move them to another format, like you.
Exactly. I was like,
well, I can put them on pretty much any device I want to.
That's great. I'm glad you can. But you've seen my TV.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch it on anything else but that. You know?
Dude, that's what I'm talking about. You can watch it on that.
Oh, that's right. Well, yeah, because they broke the code.
Yeah.
So
you
can
watch it on anything you want.
Yeah.
Not just what they tell you is okay. And you can also skip the stupid little FBI warnings and commercials they might want to force you to watch.
That's amazing that I can watch an HD DVD in a sense. An HD DVD, a high-def movie.
Mm-hmm.
I can watch that played through a regular DVD player. Is that what you're saying?
No. No, I'm saying that you can watch an HD DVD on your HD DVD player or anything else if you format shift it.
Right. But wouldn't,
when you buy it, you don't have the freedom to format shift.
But
you have
not,
to watch it on your
But would
HD
it not lose
player.
Quality to play it on something else? Or do you?
Yeah, it would.
Okay, yeah. I don't want to lose quality.
Well, what I'm saying is you don't have the choice to do that whether you want to or not.
That's why you're the guy fuddling around with my Xbox 360 innards and I'm over here... You know, shuffling paper around.
You could also watch it, you know, on your laptop.
Even though it doesn't...
full quality.
I guess because it can display that way.
Yeah. You just shift it to another format, load it on your hard drive, and watch it.
But, you know, I don't know why I would want to watch it on that little screen when I've got the big screen.
Because you're traveling.
I guess. Maybe. Usually if I'm traveling, I'm going somewhere, so I usually just bring the DS or the PSP.
Or maybe you're like me and you don't want a bunch of discs laying around. You want to put them all on a big hard drive and then just pull them up when you're ready to watch something instead of sorting through a bunch of stuff to find it. Thing is, I have options.
I know you do, yeah.
Because I'm not restricted by the DRM they put on it because I don't buy their crap.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't even download their crap. If I did, though, I would have those options. I don't care enough about movies to even download them and pirate them. But, yeah. The
Netflix.
People that do have all those options.
I use Netflix for the time being. Rented 3 Blu-ray movies the other day, so
yeah.
I got 2 more coming in. Let's see, what do I... the Entertainment Software Association announced a new president. His name is Mike... His name is Robert Paulson. His name is Mike Gallagher. Gallagher previously held a position in the... Okay, wait a second. Gallagher previously held a position in the Bush administration as Assistant Secretary of Commerce for Communications and Information. I did not know this. So your politics may be a little bit maybe against this guy being named as head of the ESA. During his tenure at the Department of Commerce, Gallagher is credited with paving the way for a number of technologies and services and influenced the U.S. government's policies on international Internet governance. It is a privilege to represent the dynamic entertainment software industry, said Gallagher, with over two-thirds of American heads of households playing video games and spin, spin, spin. So, do you feel any... What do you think about that? Anything at all?
I don't like any of those guys, man.
Yeah? Really?
I don't like the BSA. I don't like the ESRB. I don't like the Republicans or the Democrats or...
You don't like politics being mixed in with your... You don't like politics mixed in with your games.
No.
You know?
No. I don't like any of it.
Well, no, I agree with you. I don't like politics mixed in with my stuff either, unless it's essential to the story. You know, when I'm trying to, you know, overthrow the government or take down a corrupted one, you know, whatever, fine, then institute some politics. Although, you know, that's interesting. In the Tom Clancy games and stuff like that, you never know if you're working for a Republican president or a Democratic president or who you're being sent out for. Yeah, they keep that all blank. It'd be interesting if they ever did give hints as to who you're working for, as far as the political party's concerned. That'd be interesting. Maybe. I don't know.
It's kind of irrelevant to the story, really. I mean, because, you know.
It's always been irrelevant to the story as far as like that.
The president.
Yeah.
And the terrorists are the terrorists, and they're in a building and got hostages, and you just got to go in there and kill them, man.
So Republican.
It's like Nazis. I don't care who the president is. They're Nazis.
Yeah. Got to go in and get them.
Got to die.
Let's see. Metal Gear Solid 4. Ooh.
Or zombies.
Or zombies.
I don't care who the president is.
No.
There's zombies out there. Got to kill them.
Got to go get them.
All right. Anyway.
This goes back to the whole rumors of Metal Gear Solid 4 being on the 360.
Ah, what about it?
Well, there was an interview. And I'm trying to see who they interviewed. Anyway,
Who'd they interview, Scott?
I'm trying to look.
Spit it out.
Kojima Productions possibly compromising game's ambition due to issues. Oh, who did they do? Who did they talk to?
I don't know. You're the one with the story.
I don't know. It was from the Kojima Productions Report podcast.
Okay.
This is where this comes from. I can tell you honestly at this point we have not changed the game in any form with the idea of, oh, we want to do this on the 360. Put aside whether or not we're developing for 360 or not. That should be in bold. Put aside any ideas of whether we're doing for the 360 or whether we're not doing for the 360. The game is built on the PS3 hardware, as you guys have known for the past 2 years.
That's a weird thing to say, instead of, no, we're not developing it for the 360.
Man, I'm telling you right now, anytime that comes up, anytime you ask a question and somebody says, maybe we are, maybe we're not, it shouldn't concern you. Or you shouldn't worry about it. If you don't get a flat-out no or a flat-out yes, if you do not get a straight no or yes answer on that thing, if you get both or if you get something vague, something's going on.
It might be completely innocuous, but anytime you say something like that, you sure open yourself up to speculation, man.
Oh, plenty of it. I mean, and they're probably not wanting to say, no, we're not developing for the 360, because I'm sure there are discussions going on.
Could be.
You know that they're sending, you know Microsoft is trying to get that. You know they are. I guess Sony may be trying to do the same thing with some of Microsoft exclusives, maybe? Do you think? Are they really trying that hard?
Well, I saw here how Jack Trenton, you know, boss over at SCE.
Yeah, I wanted to give you that one. Yeah,
Entertainment is a little upset over the possibility of Microsoft doing a folding at home, which is the disease cure research utility.
Wow, they're even going to steal that exclusive from the market.
Yeah, doing that on the 360, and he got a little upset about it, which is just weird. You see, if we have, we need some like music for This Week in Sony news segment, because this would be it. He says, Peter Moore at Microsoft said, if we truly believe that we can in some way marshal the resources of a much larger installed base of the Xbox 360 owners with a processor that's of equal power to the PS3, then you have my commitment that we'll look at that. And so then Trenton comes in with questioning Microsoft's intentions. He says, let's face it, if your motivation is for PR, to me, that's a little shallow. We go out of our way, correctly so, to make sure that we don't try to sell PS3s on folding at home. I think to look at it as a marketing platform is something that a company certainly wouldn't want to do. I'm certainly not insinuating that's Microsoft's motivation, but I'm not even sure how relevant it is to what we're doing. Would they even be having this conversation if we weren't doing it? I don't know. And he kind of keeps going on here, and I don't understand what he's saying. I honestly don't. He just kind of rambles. He says, I would guess that the medical community would take help from anywhere they could get it. But the commentary that I heard is that Stanford isn't sure that the Xbox 360 processing abilities would help them very much, which is odd to me, because if it helped at all, it seems like they would welcome it with open arms. It's really ugly territory to get into, but let's take fighting a disease and see if we can get some credit for that. It's not a cool game to play one way or the other, so I don't want to even give the impression that that's our motivation, and I'd be very disappointed if they're looking in for PR value or trying to suck off some of the goodwill that we're doing. Dude, what did he just say in all that?
I don't know. I was looking at the chat room.
It was almost completely incoherent, but it seems to me that he... maybe he was taken by surprise when asked about this, but he seemed to insinuate that Microsoft would only be doing it for PR, which, are you telling me that Sony didn't do this for even a little bit of PR?
What did Sony do this for?
Yeah.
Other than to give people a reason to use their PS3s.
And then he basically is like, oh, you're kind of stealing our idea. Well, sorry, man, it wasn't exactly your idea. Things around before you started
you
doing
stole
it.
The PC's idea.
You're just helping out here.
And why should we even argue? Why should you and I? I'm not saying you but why should he even argue the point? It's
why should
for
this
a
be
good
a
cause.
Point of contention at all? Even if it's for PR, it's still a good thing to help find cures for diseases using spare processing cycles of these consoles.
Let's say Sony gives a researcher $1 million saying, oh, here's our contribution. It's a donation. Thank you so much. Please go out and see if you can find a cure. And Microsoft says, you know what? We'll do that. And Sony's like, no, you can't.
We're like, they're just trying to steal our thunder. Well, dude, just take the high ground and shut up.
Take the high ground.
Everybody knows you did it first, and it's only a good thing that it's inspired Microsoft to do it. That's only going to work well for your image.
And even more so, I think the PS3 probably does it better.
You don't help yourself when you go out there and ramble on incoherently about how they're kind of stealing our thunder. Well, man, get over yourself. Just let's run folding at home and cure some diseases.
Exactly. We need to go to a break here. How much more news you got over there?
There's plenty of news.
Oh, my God.
Talk about in more detail, though, that I'm saving for the last hour. So.
Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break because we've been talking for like 40 minutes now without going to commercial.
I need something to drink.
Yeah, I am thirsty. We're going to take a quick break here. We'll be right back on In-Game Chat on 1170 WACV. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. We kind of got carried away there in that segment, that last segment.
Yeah, we did.
Wasn't that fun, though? it gets pretty fun in here. I was reaching over, and I grabbed the mesh that you had cut off the back of my 360, and I'm looking at it. And then I'm like, I look at my hands, and they're dirty as all on the inside. Ah. That is just, that's, you know, we should really take better care of our consoles.
Hey, man. Hey, pull dust in. Not much you can do about that.
Well, I mean, how do you do maintenance on yours? Do you like once a week, once a month? Do you go in there and spray it out and you know kind of clean it or anything? Or you just never?
No, never.
Do you think it helps or does it? You know, no big deal. Maybe like 1%. Maybe it might help.
I can't say much about the current generation of systems because this is the only 360 I've ever been inside. But like with the PS2, man, before they did the slim PS2, those things were pretty much designed to blow air directly over the lens, and dust got on it, and it stopped playing.
That's ridiculous. Never had a problem with a PS2 in the time that I've owned it. I've never had a single problem. This was, by the way, this...
What are you doing?
I was reading when this thing was built, September of 05. the X-clamp that you had pulled off. What was I saying? The 360, this console right there is the first one that has ever died on me. First one I've ever had.
I've had plenty of others die, man.
But, anyway, so you need to finish out some of your news stories here real quick.
All right.
Because I'm done with mine.
Microsoft just recently, this week, started banning modded Xbox consoles. Modded in such a way as so that they could play pirated games. There's been some firmware hacks that would let people boot copies of games, and... not surprisingly, Microsoft is now detecting them and banning those systems from Xbox Live permanently.
Yeah.
No kind of plea bargain you can strike. Now, they're not banning your Live account. You want to go out and buy another console.
You're more than welcome to.
They will let you get back on, but that machine is forevermore banned from the Xbox Live service.
I don't know many people who are doing that. I don't know anybody, actually, who's doing that, who's modded their Xbox in that way. I know you've kind of, you really haven't modded it.
No, I just repaired it.
Well, no, you did. You improved upon it.
Yeah.
You took some of the things that said, oops, we shouldn't have done this, but you went ahead and fixed that. Are they still, do you know if they're still building them with these clamps or what? You know?
Yes, they are.
Okay, we'll get into this in a minute because I do have questions, so we'll get into that here in probably the next hour. Go ahead with the rest of your whatever you've got there.
I also saw that BMG is going to start distributing Konami game music online.
Right, yeah.
Which is pretty cool. They're going to be selling like some Castlevania tunes and Silent Hill tunes. And
we'll be able to have some more songs for the show.
Yeah, on iTunes and Rhapsody. We talked a few weeks ago about how game music was kind of reviving interest in orchestral concerts. Especially among, you know, our demographic.
Oh, man.
You know, 25-year-old, 18 to 25.
I would love Kevin to call up. I will probably talk about that next week, video games.
We're
going
to go when they come to Orlando, right?
I'd love for them to come closer than Orlando. I'd like them to come to Orlando.
But if that's all they come to, we're going, right?
Hey, we're going to PAX, aren't we?
Just say yes. You're going.
I'm going to PAX, so yeah, you may be going to Video Games Live. I don't know. man, going to Orlando, it's like, I want to go to Video Games Live, but I also would love to hit up some Disney World, because I haven't been since, what, 88 or something like that, so.
Well, I haven't been since, like, 80, and I don't remember it, because I was 2, so. There you go. I want to go do that, too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I just don't go to Orlando that often, so I don't know. We'll figure something out, but we'll check. I would think if they're announcing Orlando, I would think they would come around and say, oh, yeah, by the way, we're going to hit Atlanta on the way down there or on the way back. So, but anyway, go ahead.
That's it.
Like I said, that's all
it.
You got?
Other stuff, I got stuff I want to talk about in more detail. So that's
right.
It for the news.
Well, poop then, because we still got about 10 minutes and I still have another commercial break to go
X-Wing,
through.
Then. That'll fill 10 minutes easy.
Yeah, it should. I tell you what, let's take this break.
All right.
And then we'll come back and talk about, is it Aegis?
Dude, I don't know.
I need somebody, yeah, you know.
You just got to pick a pronunciation and go with
and
it.
And then go with it until somebody's like, dude,
instead
pronounce
of me,
this way.
It's Aegis Wing until somebody tells me differently.
I've heard Aegis Wing, I've heard Aegis Wing, I've heard Aegis Wing, I've heard...
Linux, Linux, Linux.
They should just call it the best free thing you could ever get.
Or our buddy in the chat room, Flenix, Flenix?
Yeah, Flinks, Flinks. whatever his name is. Anyway, we'll be right back with more of In-Game Chat here on 1170 WACV. By the way, quick break. And welcome back to In-Game Chat here on 1170 WACV, our final segment of the hour here. Going to talk about a game that we're not really sure how to pronounce, and we've been getting some tips from the chat room here. Aegis Wings has been suggested, as well as, what did he say, Aegis?
That looks like Aegis.
Aegis Wings?
Whatever, man, I'm calling it Aegis Wing.
Aegis?
Yeah, that's what I said earlier, right? Now I'm not sure.
We were thinking, what if the G is silent? What if it's just Aegis Wings? Or what if the A is silent and it's Aegis Wings? Or, you know, all the different ways that you can pronounce this game.
Yeah, the whole first word is silent. It's just wing.
Yeah. Just that really cool game that's completely free is exactly what it is. This is this week, Xbox Live Arcade got two releases. They've been doing the two release thing for a while now. And this week was really no different. They did two releases. One was Solitaire, for God's sakes. Solitaire.
Yeah. Well, you know, casual gamers and all.
That's fine, but it's $10.
Yeah, well, not that much love,
apparently.
What's,
and you know what? Let me not. I'm not going to complain about this because they took the better game and gave it to us for free.
Yeah.
So please don't backtrack on that. I believe it's still free, isn't it?
I don't know.
It's a limited time. It's free for a limited time.
If you haven't gotten it, get it now, assuming it's still free.
Because if they see how popular it is, they may bump the price up on that thing. It's good.
It is really good. Well, let's quantify that. It's really good if you're playing multiplayer.
But make sure you play for four people.
Single player is not that much fun.
Two people is probably not that much fun, is it?
Two people was pretty fun.
Really?
Four people is an absolute blast. It's a party. It is
four
fantastic.
People in that game is great. That is just awesome. I don't know if any of you in the chat room have played, and it's horrible. It is not horrible. Why?
I've heard, opinions are very, very
have you heard
split
some,
on
have,
this game.
Really?
Oh, yeah. There are some people that absolutely hate it.
Oh, you lost the stream right when I'm complaining.
But anyway, it's basically a side-scrolling space shooter, kind of like, I guess you would picture Defender, if you haven't played games in a while.
Mm-hmm.
There's only about 6 or 7 levels. But the kicker is that, well, first off, it's very, very pretty. It's all rendered in 3D, even though it's side-scrolling. You pilot your ships, and your ships can combine, kind of like Voltron or something,
yeah,
into this one giant ship.
And I'll form the head.
Yeah. Where one player is piloting the ship, and he can still fire, but he can only fire straight forward and use his special weapons. The other characters, who don't control the ship any longer because they're combined on, use their sticks to fire directionally in whatever direction they want, and it makes you very, very lethal. And
yeah,
the more ships you combine, the more powerful your special weapons get. And we have really torn through the game. We've beat it on normal mode. Well, I've been in our groups. I've beaten it 3 times,
mm-hmm,
on normal. We've gotten 11 of the 12 achievements. We've also beaten it on insane mode once. And in insane, everybody gets 1 life.
Yeah.
One life. You can bring your buddies back from the dead by collecting spare ships after they die, but you just get the one life, man.
Well, what's weird is if you check my gamer card statistics for that, you've got the hero achievement, which means you beat the game on normal.
I beat it on normal.
I've got the one that I don't have that one. I beat it on insane. Normally, yeah. You go the other way
we
around.
We both got the insane one.
Yeah, we both got the insane one, but I haven't beat it on normal yet. So
the only achievement I haven't gotten on that yet is the one where you have to get 180,000 points. I have no idea how I'm going to do that.
I thought there was another one. I thought there was one where you go through the entire game without. No, there's you. How many have you gotten? Have you gotten all but one?
All but that one.
I didn't realize that.
Yes, there's one called Diplomat where you have to make it through an entire level without shooting. Again, that's something that can really only be done multiplayer. What we decide to do is basically turn it into an escort mission.
Yeah, basically, that's all it is.
The guy who's driving our big, massive ship just doesn't fire. Everybody else fires.
Mm-hmm.
And then that person gets the diplomat. Then you switch up on the next level, and somebody else drives, and everybody else
and
fires.
And if you don't want to get hit, then basically you do that multiplayer, and the guy just stays in the back.
Yep, you stay in the back, and everybody protects him with their lives. And you get them through without them getting hit, and there's an achievement. And getting through, like, an entire level without anybody dying wasn't really that hard after we'd played through the game about 3 or 4 times. So.
But, yeah, it's a fun game. It's completely free. And you ought to pick it up from Xbox Live Arcade before they put a price on that thing. It is really a lot of fun. Even if you hear bad things about it, just go ahead and pick
it
up.
Try
it
for yourself and decide for yourself.
We'll be back 6 minutes after the hour here on In-Game Chat 1170 WACV. And welcome back to In-Game Chat here on 1170 WACV. Man, this has flown by. This is our last hour.
3 out of 3.
Yeah, I know. It's our final hour. And welcome to In-Game Chat here on 1170 WACV, episode number 16. With episode number 18, we will be on Monday nights. Beginning June 4th, we are moving In-Game Chat to Monday nights. Everything else is going to be the same. We'll start at the same time. We're just going to be on a different night. You'll still be able to listen to us the same way. You'll still be able to join us in the chat room. Everything will be the same. We're just moving to Monday nights, just to it's just going to allow for a lot of better things. So and plus we're kind of getting kicked out by something coming later
by
on
football.
Yeah, football. Which is fine. That's fine. Mondays just seems to work out a lot better for everybody. So anyway, so welcome back to In-Game Chat, and you can join us in the chat room if you head on over to evilavatar.com or mouselink.com. There's links there, and you can see everybody in the chat room there, all talking up some stuff. I just heard you move the body of my 360. Have you done the fan? Yeah, you're working on the fan mod right now.
Yeah, it's almost done.
What are you doing?
Basically,
describe what you're doing right now.
All right. Well, cut off the back.
Actually, hang on. Let's back that up.
Okay.
My Xbox 360 died, as everybody knows from last 2 weeks' episode, when I said it, I think, a total of like 20,000 times.
Yep.
And so I gave it to you to try and fix because you thought you'd figured out what had happened. Where did you go from there? So you took the Xbox home. What'd you do?
Let's see. What did I do? Oh, yeah. I opened it up. Now, I had found information on xbox-scene.com about a fix that had fixed an awful lot of people's bricked 360s.
Right.
And so basically I took it and decided to do what these guys had done. What they discovered is that the way the heat sinks are mounted onto the motherboard is with this little thing they call an X-clamp, which pulls down on the four posts on the four corners of the heat sink but pushes up on the center. And what they believe is that with all of the heat and that force pushing up from underneath the chip on the bottom of the motherboard, it eventually pushes either the CPU or the GPU away from the board so it's no longer in contact.
Mm-hmm. And that tells the box that says, oh, red rings.
Yeah, because there's no brain there.
Yeah.
There's nothing. So there were two tutorials. I was only able to access one at the time. But this one involved drilling out holes in the metal casing that the motherboard sits on, putting these eight bolts up through the bottom. They go through the motherboard without drilling the motherboard, obviously. That would be a bad thing.
Yeah.
Motherboard just sits down on top of those, put some washers and nuts on there to kind of space them out.
Mm-hmm.
put the heat sinks down on the chips. You got to scrape all of the crap off of those first, and then apply some new thermal compound to get a good seal to transfer all the heat. And then you bolt the heat sinks down to the board, and now it's pulling the heat sink down to the board by those four posts and pressing it, the CPU, firmly against the board, reestablishing contact. And they just fire right back up then. They're happy as can be.
And what are the odds of that happening again?
Well, it's a pretty recent fix. So far, there hasn't been any complaints, but it's only been people have only been doing this for about a month or two now. So
now, let me ask you this. Is there a better chance of this not happening should you lay your system down instead of having it on its side?
I doubt it.
Because obviously, I know if it's on its side, it's got a little bit more weight to kind of pull it off of the motherboard, wouldn't it?
I think it's kind of minuscule, actually.
Okay, it doesn't actually.
It's not, I don't think that really affects it.
It's got a 0.008965% of that happening. We'll tell you what those numbers are in just a bit. So then, what next?
Well, once you got it fired up. So
when you got that done, you plugged it in and turned it on, and what happened? You got one red ring, didn't you, or something like that?
Oh, well, the first time, yeah, I got one red ring. And I believe that was because the tutorial mentioned to first use three washers to space them out. And if that was too many, if it didn't work, to go down to two, which is what I did, and then it pretty much came right back up. It overheated really quickly, and then I realized later that's because I hadn't put the fan shroud back on to push the flow of the air over the heat sinks, which was just kind of dumb on my part. But, once I put the fan shroud back on, it was just as happy as it could be.
And now you're doing a mod for the fan shroud, right?
Yeah. We took the metal grill off
the
back.
Which consists of a Stouffer's lasagna box, by the way, if you're wondering.
So the air can move through better. And we're basically making just some little air guides out of
cardboard
out of a box to get the air to flow over the heat sinks better.
That's great. And apparently it's going to make it quieter. Is that right?
That's what they say, because it'll keep the chips cooler using the same amount of air, or actually less air, because it won't have to blow as much. So the fans will spin slower and thus be more quieter.
Wow. That's some cool stuff. And so I'm going to – will I have that 360 back?
Yeah.
And so I'll go home and I'll change it out and I'll play it, and I'll have an extra core sitting around.
Yay.
With an extra 20 gig hard drive that I got from when I bought my 120 gig in the store the other day.
Yeah.
So there you go. And thank you for doing this. In fact, I posted a link from the Evil Avatar forums to the thread where you were talking about what you were doing to my box.
Yeah.
Which we had a flood of people. We want to thank everybody that came by and thank everybody that signed up too.
Because it was one of the Evil Avatar guys that pointed me at the fan shroud mod. Which
yeah.
I didn't know about.
Yeah, I want to thank him as well. But apparently it kind of caught on because you got a message from someone today.
Yeah, the guy signed up today and sent me a message saying that he had been Googling for a fix for the red light problem and came across that thread on our site, saw that I had fixed it, and wanted to know how much I'd charge him if he sent me his 360 to fix it.
Now, this is what you used to do for a living.
Yeah. Not all that long ago.
You quit fixed, not too long ago.
I fixed more PS2s than I care to think about. At least 1,000.
So are you considering it, or what are you going to do?
I'm thinking about it. I haven't decided yet.
Because, you know, if you do it for one, then you may start having a flood. You may not, you know.
Well, it doesn't mean I have to do them all.
You don't have to do all of them, but
yeah, it's just kind of thinking about whether I want to start doing that, like, maybe on the side. I don't know. I'm thinking about it. We'll see.
A little extra income, man.
I just got so burnt out on it before, you know.
But this time you don't have an open shop, you know?
Yeah.
You're not going to have Joe Schmo coming in there. And handing you his box that he takes no care of, and has no respect for or anything like that.
As long as I never have to open up a box and find like roaches crawling around in it again.
Well, what's amazing is number one, you got people that know how to use the internet, and obviously the thread is not the first thing that pops up when you Google how to fix this.
Yeah.
Or is it?
I don't know. I haven't Googled it. That would be weird.
Yeah, it would. For that to be the first thing that pops up. We should have a lot more traffic at MouseLook then, if that's the case. But, you know, there's people that are taking care of this. They obviously, you know, are out of a warranty. And yeah, you know, find out how much they're willing to pay. They might go for it, you know?
Yeah, maybe.
Who knows? But that's cool. That's cool. It's that what you quit doing is now starting to come back to you.
Yeah. Coming on around again.
Yeah, exactly. You can't let it go, can you? So anyway, we mentioned some numbers here a minute ago. I want you to give out, because mine's bigger and better. I want you to give out yours. I want you to tell yours first. We were looking up your score on, what is it? What do we call it? Aegis Wings?
I call it Aegis Wings.
Aegis Wings?
I don't care what anybody else calls it.
Anyway, the flying game we were talking about, the free Xbox Live arcade game. Straxus over here is ranked, whoop, that's mine. What were you ranked?
Hang on, number 72. This is, let's see, hang on, I gotta pull this up again. Here we go, Straximus. Aegis Wing, world rank, number 72 out of 23,329.
That's a big number.
Yeah, it is.
Which, when you did that, you were in the what percentile?
Let's see here. That would be the top 3/1000ths of a percent percentile. Yeah, that's kind of big.
So I jumped over to look at mine. I am nowhere near what you are for that game. However, if you jump down to the pinball,
yeah,
I am number 71 out of, this is world rankings here. I am number 71 out of 79,205. I am in the, and I'm just going to say this entire number, the 0.00896408 percentile.
Basically, 9/10,000ths of a percent.
9/10,000ths of a percent.
Rounded up there, yeah.
So I'm very proud of that, just because I love me some pinball. Man, I love me some pinball. So, yeah, so I just wanted to say.
It's kind of nice to be like number 71 and number 72 in the world on this game. Maybe if I can get that last achievement, I can get up into like the top 10 or something.
Back when Burnout Revenge had first come out, a couple of months after it was released, I got to number 6 on their world ranking. Not for the gamer score, but in the multiplayer.
Yeah.
When you're racing online and stuff, I was ranked number 6 in the world rank. That was the closest I ever got to number 1. I was tickled, man. Didn't I should have taken a picture, but I never did. Guess what I'm ranked now? 6,000 and something. Cuz I haven't played it in forever. So anyway, you fixed my box, and I want to thank you for that. Also, I want to talk about the big thing this week, which is Halo 3. You've never played a multiplayer game. You've never played Halo, have you?
I played a little bit of Halo 1 single player on the PC. I didn't like it.
Why didn't you like it?
It was mediocre.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So you played the multiplayer the last night. Mm-hmm. We played multiplayer. What did you come away with on that? I didn't like it.
It was this. I started having fun towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I still don't know quite how I feel about it, but I certainly don't want to spend $60 on it when it comes out. But I don't know. I don't know. Let me spend some more time in the beta, and I'll tell you.
Oh, that's what we're gonna do. That's what we're gonna do most of the weekend. In fact, you think we're gonna do that tonight when we go home?
Probably.
the thing about it is, I mean, Aegis Wing, as well as, what's the other one that we play? R6 Vegas.
Yeah,
when you want to be on the same team.
I love playing some R6 Vegas.
When you want to be on the same team, you are limited to those 4 people, unless you get enough people to do team, you know, team deathmatch and stuff like that, or capture the flag or whatever else. What was that? Oh, that was your phone. Yeah. I thought, did you plug it in? Did you turn it on? Did you turn on the 360? Sound like a fan starting up. But Halo allows you to have everybody join in there, you know, all 8 of us. Mm-hmm. A bunch of us, to join in there. And I don't know, it provides for the fact for every single one of us to get in there and actually play the same game that everybody else is playing.
Yeah.
I'm not very good at R6 Vegas when it's us going against each other. I'm better at it when we're all together going against the AI.
That's what I love doing, man.
I love doing that. And I always, you know, I love having another member come in. Like, you know, we got 4 people. And then when I see a 5th person logged on, I'm like, oh, crap. You know, I love the fact that they're there, and I'm like, well, we're going to have to give this up so that we can all play together.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why I like Halos, because we will be all like six of us will be able to play together, so it'll be a lot of fun. What are you doing now?
I'm putting your disk drive back in.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I don't know why. You're just plugging stuff in.
You do want the disk drive back in.
No,
right?
I just thought it'd be cool to sit up there with all the other junk, and I wanted it to basically mimic my PS3. It sits up there, the lights are on, but nobody's home.
Man, you don't need a disk drive to play Aegis Wings.
No, I guess not. So anyway, there you go. Look at that. You're going to put its skin back on and everything else, aren't you?
Yeah.
That's awesome. So, hey, during the show, while we were here, you did some more stuff to my Xbox.
Well.
Wait, yeah. I thought you were going to put the fan shroud mod on.
Yeah, that's not working out so well for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why, the tape isn't sticking or something?
Yeah, sort of. And it's, I'm just not comfortable with the way that's turning out. So, I think we need to forego that.
I
was just making a dun-dun-dun noise because it seemed in the balance.
Just for the little modification.
But
that
I saw the look
do.
In your eyes just for a second.
Yeah, I was like, well, why didn't you,
what's going on?
Yeah, exactly. We're not going to put that back in. His body doesn't need that.
We have callers.
We do have callers. Jason, we've had on the show before. So we'll leave him hanging and waiting because Mike is new. Mike may be new here. Let's go to Mike here on the phones. Mike, are you there?
Yeah, hey guys. I called once before, I think.
Jeff. I thought I remembered a Mike calling
here
early on.
Is this Rome Total War?
Yeah, Rome Total
War.
Hey,
man.
Hey,
yeah.
We remember.
Welcome back.
Did you find the code you were looking for?
No, but it's been sort of busy, but I will find them. I've got a question, though. I'm the guy that's the big fan of real-time strategy stuff.
The RTS stuff,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my question is, are there any RTS games out there that are like ship-to-ship, like say from, like say you're a ship captain fighting another ship maybe in the 18th century or the 19th century or even battleship type stuff. Is there anything out there like that that's out on the market?
Off the top of my head, I can't think of anything. I feel sure there is.
There's got to be.
if nobody in the chat room can think of anything off the top of their head, yeah. I will look that up, and next week we'll let you know about that.
That'd be great.
There's only a 6-second delay into this stuff getting out to the guys in the chat room, so it may come up here pretty quick. But go ahead. What were you saying?
No, I just said that'd be great. I haven't really seen anything out there, and I just wonder if anybody made anything. I think it'd be a pretty fun game to sort of like maybe sort of like Battleship, but more in a real-time strategy where you can do your own strategy like you're a ship captain kind of thing, you know. I don't know if there's ever anything put out there. Age of Empires has little ships, you know, that you can attack. And
oh, here we go.
We're getting some suggestions
from the chat room.
Cool.
Rorschach says Command and Conquer Live and Loaded,
which I've never heard of.
Phalanx says a game called Cossacks has pretty good ship versus ship stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what we've got so far.
Yeah, Cossack sounds familiar, though.
Okay.
You might want to do a search, in fact.
Okay.
Da-da-da, have my laptop in front of me. It's the greatest. I get happy at seeing. Oh, wait. No, that's going to take me to a Wikipedia article. let's see. Welcome to the world. If you go to Cossacks.com. Is that a board game? No, it's a. Huh.
What you got, man?
I don't know. I've got a website that I can't figure out how to get around in, and there's like different.
Well, there's a lot of those.
There's different games to go to. I can go to the Napoleonic Wars. I can go to the Cossacks, Back to War, The Art of War, European Wars, and then it's got the complete anthology. I want to get some information on what's going on, but I can't. It won't let me. Let's see. It's not letting me. Let's go here. Let's see. I wanted to give me some screenshots or something, but it's not really helping. Oh, screenshots. There we go. Oh, that's an old game.
Oh, and he says Cossacks is from the guys who made Stalker.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, it's, Command & Conquer has nothing. I knew he was kidding on that.
Oh, was he?
I knew that he was
okay.
Doing. Let's see. That game is from 2001, one of the Cossacks game that I looked at a minute ago. But yeah, head on over to Cossacks, Cossacks.com, Cossacks.
Okay, I'll do it.
And head on over there and look around or try and look up some forums for that and see if you can find anything. Pirates?
If I find... Pirates wasn't exactly a real
It has some ship-to-ship, but it wasn't... Yeah, it wasn't real-time strategy type
Pirates
stuff.
Pirates was very much its own thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't really fit in with any other genre.
Yeah.
So...
All right, guys. Well, I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for listening. Man. Thanks for calling in.
I sure...
Bye-bye.
I have a good one.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
And let's go to Jason. Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Not much.
Man.
What did you want? You want to talk about red lights, right?
Yeah, I posted in the thread that Jeremy was fixing your Xbox. I had discovered something that goes back to the original Xbox, that maybe the red lights doesn't always mean a total hardware failure.
No, it doesn't. The red lights...
I discovered this, especially in the... I told you at work, before I posted this, I was having problems getting orange ring of death on my original Xbox, and I couldn't play anything. Well, it turns out this puppy I have...
Oh, yeah, no.
They end of the AV cables.
Yeah, they chew through your AV cables. That's your problem there, sir.
Well, not the cable itself, the end cap that goes into the back of it. You know what? The end of it plugs into the Xbox, which was what was chewed.
You either need to get a new cable, or, you know what? I don't know. What are Xboxes going for now?
$100 used at GameStop.
It was like $20 online through, I think, Newegg.
You should really look into that. I mean, just get that to fix it. You won't have a problem anymore. I mean, if you seriously want to spend that money instead of saving up to get a 360.
Yeah. But after I posted that story, somebody on there on the forum posted that not the red lights don't have to necessarily mean a total hardware failure.
Yeah, it's really after you've checked out every other possibility and it's still doing red lights, that's when it means it's a total hardware failure.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's several other things that it can be. And basically, if you manage to disconnect your entire system and reconnect it all back up and restart it after having it unplugged for a while, and it doesn't come back up, then usually it's a total hardware failure.
Now, after going through all that you've done, Jeremy, do you think that standing the Xbox straight up or laying it down would be better?
I don't think it matters to what causes this particular problem.
Yeah, we were talking about that. It's so small of a different percentage of what you're doing that...
Because it's actually being physically pushed away from the board by the clamp that's holding it down.
Yeah.
So I don't think it will matter one bit whether it's standing straight up or sitting down flat.
Is this resolved in the newer batches, or is this still something with the launch models?
According to the Xbox Scene guys that I read, they're still using these X clamps. So, of course,
there's been a significantly less amount of, I guess, maybe not.
I haven't heard of as many of the newer ones dying, but they're still clamped on the same way. So I don't know what that means exactly. That's all I can say about it.
I just know mine's fixed. Was out. It didn't. My warranty was expired. Mine is fixed. Didn't cost me nothing. It did cost you some stuff, but I'll make up for it.
Cool.
This whole thing is what's keeping me from joining the. The 360 group there.
There's always going to be that there. You know, on probably with the exception of maybe the Wii, there's always going to be that threat of hey, it could die on you, and it could die any day. You know.
Yep.
To relate that as to
PS2s
you know,
were just as bad, if not worse.
Yeah. To relate that how you live your life, obviously don't go around wearing padding because you're scared you're going to get hit by something. It's just going to happen if it's going to happen. So feel comfort in the fact that you'll have a one-year warranty on the system itself.
Right.
Use that year to save up a nice little batch of money that you can sit aside in case in case 5 years from now you want to buy another 360 after it's been broken. Why are you making that face?
I forgot to bring the screws.
Do you think I would be better off going with the core system and building from there or going straight into...
Oh, go straight into the premium.
Go to the premium or the elite if you want to.
One of those two. Don't get a core.
Don't get a core.
It's just too expensive to get a core and build up from there because you're going to want a hard drive straight away.
Yeah, I'm planning on getting one pretty soon. What I'm doing right now is I'm looking for one, and I'm willing to trade out to anybody that doesn't want a premium. I have 6 months, probably 8 months of free hosting through my site that I'll trade out, which equals out to maybe a $300 to $400 value.
All right.
Good luck.
I'll put that out there through Facebook.
Yeah, you know. Good luck on that.
Yeah.
I keep dreaming, you know. It's not going to happen, man.
Well, look at the money I make, you know.
Yeah. You're going to either going to need to find one, you know, you're going to have to pay money. You're not going to find a trade. Now, you can find partial money, partial trade, maybe, but you're not going to find
probably the route I'm looking to go. But
you're not going to find a whole
trade. I shouldn't be too much longer. I should have a 360 probably in another month or two.
Well,
I'm just probably sitting there like, I'm wondering, like, by the time I finally get it, is everybody else be onto the next gen of next gen system?
And then we'll wait for you then as well. but yeah, you'll be well on your way, man. So, hopefully we answered some of your questions. But we got to run. We got more news to cover here. So thanks for calling in, though.
Good show.
All right. Thanks. We'll talk to you later.
All right. See you guys.
Bye-bye. What happened?
I forgot to bring the screws. I can't put it back together completely.
There's a sound effect I really want to find, and I don't know where it's at. there it's somewhere, and I don't know where it's at. I had it today. Oh, I'll never find it. I'll never find it now. where's it at? I'm going to look at it. Oh, I can't find it. Anyway, it was a great little sound effect. Anyway, it was the... it's the sound effect from The Price is Right whenever somebody loses. Dun, 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 dun,
wow. That's a good one.
That's what I wanted to use. Did you? Yeah. No? Well, you had the mic in front of your face, so I turned it on because I thought you were going to chat, but nope, you weren't. You're just looking at the mic being like, what does this do? It's a great little thing. I'm so bored in here. I'm going to count the rivets on the microphone and see how many are in there. So you forgot the screws, huh?
I forgot to bring the screws.
Oh.
Figures.
So when will I get my... Hey, you coming out to the dinner that we're doing tomorrow?
Probably.
All right, bring it then. Yeah.
If I don't, you know where I live. You can swing
That's
by
true.
And grab it.
I do. But anyway, you've got that done, and thank you for that.
Yep.
Wanted to talk, you know, we were talking about Halo 3. There was some... the Halo 3 beta came out this week.
And it was a bit of a fiasco there, trying to get that
was
out to everybody.
Was it ever? For those of you who don't know, Halo 3 is due out on September 25th. They gave it a release date, which is a Tuesday. We'll be broadcasting on Mondays. So we'll be able to say, yay, Halo's tomorrow. Go enjoy it.
Sorry.
You're fixing your microphone there?
That's the second week in a row I've done that.
Yeah, we'll do it for another one, I'm sure. But no, September 25th is going to be when it's released. Now, Bungie and Microsoft decided to release a beta of the multiplayer.
Yep.
They said, in fact, let me go down the story here. 1UP had a great article about, in fact, it's titled Halo 3 and Crackdown. What the hell happened? In November of 2006, Bungie and Microsoft announced that there would be a Halo 3 multiplayer beta launched in the spring of 2007. In February 2007, Microsoft released Crackdown and promised the hundreds of thousands of people who bought it that they'd have first-day access to the beta. Then, on April 10th, the beta received an official launch date, May 16th, and an official end date, June the 6th. Gamers became anxious as press and select friends and family were allowed early access late last week, but 5 a.m. Pacific Standard Time on May 16th wasn't far off. 5 a.m. came and went on that appointed date.
Yes, it did.
And the beta didn't launch for Crackdown owners. It wasn't until some 14 hours later, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, that Microsoft issued a patch for Crackdown. Yes, Crackdown. There wasn't an issue with the beta. Halo 3 downloaded and played fine for the press and those involved in the Friends and Family program. So how did Microsoft's biggest promotion of 2007 blow up in its face after months of hype? Because that's how Microsoft works.
Well, they weren't ready.
No.
Yeah.
Fingers started pointing at Bungie in the early hours after as gamers lashed out at the studio because they took days off of work and they skipped classes. I don't know anybody that did that, but I read forums of people who had done that, who had taken days off of work or school, called in sick because they were going to play Halo 3 all day. This is what you don't do, folks, by the way.
No, this is what people do. They've been doing it for a long time, long before this, you know.
But not on something as, like a game release? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'll do it on a game release, but for a beta release that's going to be delivered digitally through this, when there's been known issues before. I remember when the Prey demo was supposed to come out, people were all geared up for that, and it didn't.
Yeah.
The developers had released a release date of when it was supposed to come, and then Microsoft said, no, we announced that, not you guys. We tell the people when we're going to release a demo. It wasn't until about 2 or 3 weeks later that they finally released that Prey demo. That was some big stuff. But, you know, you put your faith in it because you're paying for a service. And you paid for the game, by the way.
Yeah.
Some people paid for the game solely for the only thing to do was to play that beta.
Yeah, a lot of people did.
Yeah. So... let's see. Bungie was immediately aware of the problem, announcing early in the morning on its website that it had alerted the appropriate live authorities and that they're taking care of the problem as we speak. But what exactly happened? Who screwed up? Real-Time Worlds, the folks behind Crackdown, they weren't even aware of the situation. Located in Europe, they awoke to message board threads, hundreds of pages long, complaining about their game. They said they were completely puzzled about it. Microsoft dealt with this swiftly and without our involvement overnight. So though we were surprised at the solution... We were certainly pleased to see it working this morning, because for them it was, you know, we go to bed, we wake up, and that's what happened.
Right.
They went to bed when the beta was being released, and they woke up when it was actually available for the rest of the public. Microsoft confirmed that there was no issue with Crackdown, instead pointing the finger at Xbox Live, which, you know, has its share of fingers being pointed at it for many reasons.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time that we've tried to interface downloading of a beta through Xbox Live with a previously shipped game. It's a complicated process, made even more significant by the huge interest in this beta, said the company in a statement. This was not an issue with the Crackdown discs themselves, nor was it a problem with the Halo 3 beta. Wilson, who is Wilson? Phil Wilson, who is the producer for Crackdown, he echoed that the problem was not Crackdown's, but issuing a Crackdown update provided the fastest solution. The simplest and fastest way to resolve the situation was to make a change on the Crackdown side, hence another title update that you got last night. There was a title update when the free stuff, when the add-on packs for Crackdown came out, and then, you know, last night they had to issue another title update for it to run this beta, for you to get the beta. Yesterday, whatever day that was, Wednesday, all evidence pointed to Xbox Live, but Microsoft remained, this is something that bugs me, Microsoft remained silent all day long, forcing Bungie to run damage control on its website and message boards with little more to say than be patient. Did simply no one try downloading the Halo 3 beta via Crackdown? While that seems pretty implausible, Microsoft wouldn't divulge details. Whatever transpired, in hindsight, it becomes painfully obvious. It becomes painfully obvious that inadequate preparations were made for the most anticipated downloadable content yet to come to the 360 and live service, resulting in a less than satisfactory experience for gamers. Late last night, a Crackdown fix was issued that solved the problem, and most users were able to download the beta without much trouble. And in a stand-up move reflecting their desire to build good relationships with the community, Microsoft and Bungie decided to extend the testing period 4 days, which added an extra weekend onto this thing. And it will now end on June 10th instead of June 6th.
Cool.
So, great for them for doing that. My problem is, and we've said this in message board threads, and I've echoed this as well from other people who have said the same thing, was Microsoft's desire to be silent.
Yep. And that's been a recurring problem in the game industry, man. When there's problems, whoever's at fault generally doesn't like to get up and start talking about it right away. Whether it's a MMO like World of Warcraft or something like this.
I'll tell you
what. There's a problem. People go quiet really quick.
They don't have to do that. They don't have to. They don't have. Obviously, they don't have to.
It would be so much easier if they just communicate with us and
right.
Let us know what's going on. There wouldn't be nearly. I mean, people would still be upset, but they wouldn't. There wouldn't be this ravenous foaming at the mouth, like tearing everybody apart and tearing everybody down. Like, I mean, none of that needed to be directed at Bungie or the Crackdown guys.
No.
And a lot of people would have been, you know, reassured to know that somebody knew what the problem was and was working on it.
But did you see what happened, though, if you ever went over to the Bungie forums? Microsoft says nothing. Bungie says something.
Yeah.
The guys at Bungie said, hey, be patient on this. We realize what's going on. We've notified the authorities. That didn't matter to the public at large. They were still blaming Bungie.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because Bungie spoke up. I'm not sure. But like it says, Microsoft basically forced Bungie to take, you know, control of the situation as far as
that's not cool.
Dealing with the crowd. No, I hated that. And I hate the fact that Microsoft stayed silent. It really annoyed me. They stayed silent when the Prey demo didn't show up. And everybody said, where's it at? Where's it at? Major Nelson's site, MajorNelson.com, who is pretty much Microsoft's voice to the community, his site was flooded. There was like 400 posts that day on his site for the Prey demo. People saying, where's it at? Where's it at? Because Wednesday, whatever day it was, came and went. And people all day, where's the Prey demo? It's supposed to be here. He said nothing. Nobody said anything. It wasn't until, I believe, the podcast that he did on Sunday, I believe, when he said something about it.
You don't have to say much. You just say, there's a problem. We know about it. We're working on it.
That's what I'm saying. All they have to do, I think, I don't know the community, if the community, you know, how much of a reflection of the community is upon my own personal feelings. But if Microsoft would have said, if they'd have said, you know, hey, you know, Larry, who is Major Nelson, go post to your blog and say, and tell them this, we're aware of the problem, we're working on it, and we'll keep you updated. If they could do that, even if they repeat that message with a little bit different saying every few hours, I would almost be okay with it. But give us, just communicate with us. That's all.
Yeah.
Just let us know that you know what's going on. Let us know that you're hearing us. Otherwise,
yeah, we've invested in your in your platform. We're on board. Show us a little bit of respect, man. You know, I'm not asking for a whole lot here.
No. I'm not asking you to say,
all I want to know is what's going on. That's it. I don't think that's asking a whole lot.
So it's just, that's the way I feel about it. And now we've got to take a commercial break. Because, again, we've gone way long in this one. So we're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be right back with In-Game Chat on 1170 WACV. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. That kind of jumped out on us.
And we're back.
And by the way, if you just called into the show, you can call back. We thought we had a little bit more time than what we did. So please call back, 334-272-9228. 334-272-9228. Let me turn your mic off. We were hearing you open a bag of. There you go. Exactly.
There you go.
Get those chips.
M&M's, man.
Yep, M&M's. M&M's. Nobody's called in. She's sad. So we were talking about Halo 3, and I've thoroughly enjoyed my time in there. Loved it to death. Also, let's see what else. So we can hit up some news. We've got till the top of the hour to go any further. What else did we want to talk about? Trying to look through my news here.
Does tobacco use affect a title's ESRB rating? Inspired by the Motion Picture Association of America's decision that tobacco use will have a much greater effect on a film's rating, Curmudgeon Gamer has done its own mini investigation into how tobacco references affected a game's rating. According to statistics culled from the ESRB site, only 3 out of 141 games with a tobacco descriptor ultimately earned an M rating, with the rest, 29 of them earning an E rating, 18 earning an E10+, and 91 of them earning a T rating. No early childhood-related games have any substance references. The SRB process uses, quote, specially trained game raters to decide the rating. And it goes on to say, though many can argue that these statistics do not count for the extent or realism of tobacco usage, such as calling all college received an E but still has an alcohol and tobacco reference descriptor, it should be noted that according to the MPAA CEO Dan Glicksman, 75% of films with even a fleeting glimpse of smoking received an R rating.
Wow.
So should games, the beacon of controversy they can be, hold themselves to similar standards?
Oh, interesting there.
What do you think?
I don't care. I don't know. You know.
Well, honestly, I'm perfectly okay with T-rated games having, and I'd be perfectly fine with PG-13 rated movies. By the same token, having cigarettes in them. Not too sure about the E-rated games. That seems a little. Going a little far down there on the rating scale.
I think so, yeah.
To have tobacco.
I don't know that that's necessary there. Did you ever see, to jump ship, you know, not jump ship, but I mean just jump topics and subjects and stuff. Did you ever watch The Punisher? Did you ever see The Punisher?
The movie?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Well, then never mind. Thomas Jane is not coming back to in The Punisher sequel. He played The Punisher in the first film.
Okay.
And he's not coming back. There's a nice long letter he wrote into Ain't It Cool News about not really why, but he did say, what I won't do is spend months of my life sweating over a movie that I just don't believe in. I've always loved the Marvel guys, and I wish them well. Meanwhile, I'll continue to search for a film that one day might stand with all of those films that the fans have asked me to watch. The fans told him when he was preparing for the role to play Punisher, the fans were like, hey, go watch this movie and go watch this movie and do all this. And he lists a bunch of them. Old Boy is one of them, the 7-Ups. Let's see, Escape from New York, Magnum Force. Let's see, what else is in here? Cry Vengeance, The Outlaw Josie Wales, Rocky, countless other things. They told him to go and look. Serpico is another one. He's like, go watch these movies and you know, get into that role of what this guy is, you know. Just, you know, revenge, just hell-bent on it. It doesn't care.
Right.
And apparently, they're just, that's not the one, you know, that's they're just
that's not the movie they want to make?
That's not the movie they want to make, exactly.
That's a shame, because that sounds like The Punisher to me. I mean, what else would a Punisher movie be?
Yeah. Punisher fans are already fighting an uphill battle as it is, and I've always felt a responsibility to fight that fight for them and with them so that Frank Castle gets the treatment he deserves. I'm sharing this with you because I know you're a fan like me and you've got your ear to the ground, and because we seem to share the same sort of taste and passion when it comes to movies and stories that we both love. What I won't do, as he says, is spend months of my life sweating over a movie that I just don't believe in. So part of me...
Good for him.
Yeah, I'm like, thank you for doing that. Here's... this. I know we're a radio, so you can't actually see this when I talk about it, but if you can go over to... It's been all over the news, but the somebody got some shots from the Hitman movie that they're filming. Did you see them?
No.
It's cell phone shots. Apparently, somebody who's working on the crew or whatever... got a shot with the actor who's playing it, and I cannot pronounce his last name to save my life. Timothy, what is it, Oliphant? Oliphant? Whatever? He was in Deadwood, and I don't know if you've seen any of Deadwood.
Nope.
Okay. But he's also playing the bad guy in the new Die Hard film.
Nope.
Anyway, he's playing Agent 47 from the Hitman movies. He doesn't look the part.
Let's see.
At all.
What? Okay. So this is like the Hitman's executive brother, right?
Who also doesn't have hair.
He looks like he's a lawyer for a cereal company or something.
Yeah, it's
he looks like the Smallville Lex Luthor.
Yeah. Right? Did you see this then?
Yeah.
No way, man. Smallville Lex Luthor looks much cooler than that.
Did you watch... No, you haven't done... You haven't... Sorry. You haven't seen the season finale of Smallville, have you?
I'm like... We are like 3 episodes behind.
Oh, really?
We're not even remotely caught up.
I was watching it last night, and I won't give any spoilers away. I'll give you my feelings on a little bit, because the entire time I'm watching it, I'm like, holy crap, this is horrible. Did they find? I think they finally, you know, I kind of thought that they jumped the shark before. I think they really, like, they jumped like 5 or 6 on the finale.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That bad.
But then the end of it, I was like, all right, you're redeemed. The last few seconds, I'm like, okay, you're redeemed. I shouldn't be that lenient about it, but, you know, I guess I am.
Smallville does a lot of that, though, man. They do a lot of really stupid ideas that make you, like, man, I should just stop watching right now.
Oh, yeah.
And the next episode, they'll do something really cool. Like, you know, most of the Justice League stuff with the Green Arrow and Aquaman and Flash and all that good stuff.
Yeah. I do. There are some things that I will never forgive it for, which is basically, why are you putting all these characters together way before they're supposed to be? Well, let me take that back. I know that is it Superman for All Seasons book? I'm not sure.
Well,
There was one book that went back and actually... No, it was Superman Birthright. Have you read that?
No.
Superman Birthright, which basically put Lex and Clark together as kids.
Oh, okay.
Growing up in Smallville. Together. So, and that's fine. The thing I can't get over is this whole Lois thing being around.
That's pretty dumb, man.
I don't know what's going
on
there.
They showed her on the screen, I was like, man, this is dumb. Yeah. Every time I see her, I'm like, yeah, this is dumb.
Oh, you're going to love some parts in the finale.
The biggest problem with that show is just that it was, you know, what, WB show. And, you know.
I was kind of concerned with it.
Too much focus on relationships there.
Yeah, I am.
Not enough focus on superpowers.
It's Lois and Clark, but the teen years. You know?
Yeah.
It's young Lois and Clark or something like that.
You know, Superman growing up in Dawson's Creek.
Exactly. But there was the entire season finale and you
he
might want
to fly.
You might want to be careful at looking in the chat room because they may talk about it.
It's time to fly.
The entire episode as I'm watching it last night, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, where are they going with this? This is ridiculous. What the hell's going on here? Why is this happening? This is stupid. This is, you know, I was just completely floored with how dumb it was until it redeemed itself in the last, like, 2 minutes. I was just like, oh, cool. You're safe. I'll watch you next season. Not that I would. I'd never probably stop watching a Superman series, to be honest with you. It'd have to be really, really bad. It'd have to be that Superman series. Remember the Superman series where he was a puppy?
Oh, man.
A long time ago. Yeah, I don't actually remember it. I just remember watching a documentary about it.
I remember reading about that.
They were all animals. It was a world of animals. They were all dogs, but it was people in animal suits.
I think they did that on like the History Channel special on Superman.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was one of those documentaries where I actually discovered that it was there, but Doomsday kills him. I'm just saying, be careful because somebody's gonna throw something in there, and you just want to be careful watching the chat room there. Anyway, so what are you going to be doing this weekend?
Let's see. Hopefully, I'll play Rainbow Six Vegas with you guys.
If you can pull us away from Halo 3.
Exactly. When I can't pull you away from Halo 3, I'll be playing Halo 3. And I imagine at some point we'll play some Aegis Wing and help get you guys some more achievements. And maybe I can get that last achievement.
Yeah, I'd like to.
I want that last
achievement. I tell you what, that should be a goal for this weekend is to get us all as many achievements, I guess, as we can help to get each other.
Yeah.
You trying to get the last achievement will help me get some other achievements.
Sure.
That you'll have to hang around for, because then I'll need the last achievement with you. but yeah, we should all go through there and try and get those achievements part of this weekend, as well as the Halo 3 beta. What else? Anything else?
That's about all I got. Well, actually,
screwing the rest of my Xbox together, I would think.
Yeah, I'll do that tonight. Maybe. If not, I'll do it tomorrow.
You can do it in the time it takes me to drive from here to my house. So.
Yeah, pretty much. No, but I've got some gift cards laying around, and maybe I'll cash those in to get like a Microsoft.
I asked you if there was anything you were looking for to purchase off of the Xbox Live Arcade. In the thread, you were talking about what you'd be doing this weekend.
Yeah. I don't know what I'm going to get. Becky wants billiards, but
that's a big one. That's 800 points for pool. Is it 8? No, it's more. It's 16.
It's
or 1,400 or something.
It basically comes out to $15.
It's huge. Yeah, it's a lot of money.
It's like 1,200 points, so $15.
That and Luminous is the most expensive thing on there from the Xbox Live Arcade.
Yeah, she wants that, and I'm not real big on that.
Well, tell her to go buy herself a points card and use it, because that's big. That's expensive. That's a big one.
Maybe we'll get some Luxor.
Hey, speaking of.
What are you going to be doing this weekend, Dana?
I'll be working.
But we've got a nice little birthday thing going on tomorrow for you.
Yeah,
so you may what did you ask for? Gift cards?
No, I didn't ask for anything.
Okay. Well, okay.
But yeah, I'll take any and all donations.
So, yeah, you'll get something for me. So, don't worry about that. But yeah, you're going to be working this weekend, nothing else, huh?
Pretty much. Well, when I get off work, then I'll be watching you guys play whatever you're playing.
That's true. Yeah. Otherwise, you'll feel the wrath of the Psy.
Do we still have your camera?
No, Jeremy has my camera.
I mapped my face onto my Rainbow Six guy.
You'll need to bring that back tomorrow whenever you bring my
Did
Rainbow
you
Six
map
guy.
It onto your Rainbow Six girl?
Initially, I did, just to, like, be dumb about
how,
it.
How did that work for you?
Well, besides the fact that the face was entirely too washed out and bright, it looked pretty creepy. What was even creepier was, you know where this is going?
Maybe.
I asked Bullet Food to, like, join a game of Vegas and, like, check out my face. And he does. He's like, tell me how great the face looked. He never said a word about the fact that it was on a female body. Didn't strike him as odd in the least. So, not sure what to say about that.
He's been hanging out in T-Town.
But that's Bullet Food, man. That's what he does.
As for me, and I got to wrap this up because we only got about 50 seconds left. As for me, I'm going to be doing the same thing. I posted in the thread about what we were all doing this weekend. I said I'm going to be playing Halo 3 Beta as much as I can to kind of get back into the feel of that. It's been 5